about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
If there is any greatness in any of you at all, now is the time to access it. Please don't disappoint me. Please, please, please don't disappoint me.
Maybe start after lunch?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Você tá contente, diga miau. Se você tá contente, diga miau. Se você está contente, quer mostrar pra toda a gente. Se você está contente, diga miau.
You know, I see the world through the eyes of a child. I have the heart of a warrior and a gypsy soul.
Dude, the mouse on this show is such a ball buster. That poor cat, man. There's just this thing with the cheese. There's dynamite. I mean, how do mouse get dynamite?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Abbotsford, British Columbia. Hello.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Make love to my buttocks, Benny.
Roll another one.
I don't know. Don't look at me.
Just like the other one.
Republicans don't like immigrants.
This one seems to be about to quit.
A big open
and I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
No way.
Way.
Roll another one.
She blinded me with boogers.
Just like the other one.
Why would anyone want to participate in such a thing?
This one seems to be about to end.
There's something.
I don't have another cent.
There is no justification whatsoever for what you're
doing. I don't bogart that joint.
Your butt ain't made for that.
Just pass it around.
Hey, you don't know what the f*** you're talking about.
I don't bogart that joint, my friend.
That's not brown rice.
I just pass it.
And now.
Hey, Bean, you're such a dick. Your smile frightens me.
Our feature presentation.
How dare you?
It wasn't called for.
What an unpleasant way to start a Friday morning Kevin and Bean show. You guys mocked me yesterday when I suggested that Kevin has passed on.
Yeah, he's
and his
dead.
Wife is just cashing the checks. But at this point now, day four, come on. It's starting to look pretty likely, right?
He's so dead, it's ridiculous. Bean, you called it. You did.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what it's like is the denial. I was thinking about this morning. The denial is like when the Malaysian Airlines plane disappears in those first few days. You're like, well, they're going to find it. Those people are probably still alive on an island just living it up somewhere. And then it gets to be a week and you go, they might not find it, or those people might be dead. And then it gets to be a month and you pretty much have to deal with the fact that they're not coming back. I think that's where I'm at with Kevin at this point, is that 4 days in, there's almost no other solution than he's dead.
Penis.
Well, there he is. I mean, he does just run in and
just pop in just to give us the penis update.
Just to give the penis update.
How was life in the car last night, Allie?
It was good. Left my nightlight on yesterday, so.
Oh, no.
I had to make sure I didn't leave it on today, because that'll drain your whole home.
And then you're stuck in the K-Rock parking lot for the whole weekend.
No one wants that.
So you don't want that. Got a good show today. A lot of stuff planned for you today, but we want to get started with the 911 call that everyone was talking about yesterday. We've done Ask a 911 Operator a couple of times before, and that's super interesting to me because the stuff that people call 911 for, I mean, I would say there's no way to prepare an operator for it, but they seem to be able to handle any situation. But the surprise in the 911 operator's voice yesterday in Connecticut when she realized that a man was calling about his own cat was pretty humorous to me. She's trying to get her head around the fact that he's being held hostage by his own pet. That can't be a call. I mean, how do you prepare for something like that?
I don't know. And the scary part is this is not the first 911 call about a cat.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
The last one I remember, though, the cat was 22 pounds and, to me, seemed weaponized.
Yeah, that cat was terrifying.
Yeah. This cat is only 8 pounds, but was apparently, you know, protecting its litter, so was pretty aggressive. But let's hear some of the 911 call. If you folks missed it yesterday, I think you'll like it.
I have a problem in my home. I cannot go inside in my home.
What's the problem?
The problem is that my cat was getting too aggressive, and I was inside, and he attacked me, and she scratched me in my leg and bite me. So me and my wife, we come outside, and now we cannot go in the home like 3-4 hours.
Okay, and this is you said a cat?
Yeah.
Okay, so where's the cat?
Sorry?
Where is the cat?
In my home.
Okay, and so you want the police to come and remove the cat?
That's my favorite part, by the way. She's like, let me make sure I got this straight, Pedro. You want the police to come out because you're having a domestic dispute with your own pet.
Oh, I love it. She's like, where's the cat? I fully expected him to be like, he's in the house cleaning his gun. Like, he sounded so freaked out. It's
yes,
awesome.
He did. He did sound like it was a hostage situation. He was calling from under the counter at the bank. and the people robbing the bank didn't know he was there yet.
What is the problem? Like,
yeah, we'll have to go inside the home because we removed the cat.
Okay.
What would you say, Allie,
she's
if you're
leafing
the
through the manual at that point. Cats
yes.
attacking. At that point, I'd say, is it a real cat? Because you'd wonder, is he having some sort of manic episode? Is he seeing things? I would need more information on the cat and what kind of things the cat was doing.
I don't know. Was something wrong with the cat? Like, it was...
We don't know the really truth. She had a baby last night.
Okay.
And then she was good until like 10, 11 o'clock today.
So apparently she had a litter, but it's weird, by the way, for a cat to only have one offspring.
Right.
But and everything was fine, as I understood from the news report later. Everything was fine, and then the man and his wife left the house and then came back. And then at that point, I guess the cat perceived them as a threat somehow to the baby. But you would think that this is, I mean, we don't know the history of this guy with his pet, but you would think that he would recognize his own owner as being somebody who was there, lived there, and would be familiar with the smells of that person and whatnot.
I feel like cats, every time you come in, they're like, who are you? What's going on now? They just don't care
over
every single day.
In other words, they're like, look, this is my pad.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to vet you again to see if you're going to be allowed to A, live or B, live here.
Exactly.
All right.
And I come from outside, and then I changed my clothes, and just I sit in the bed, and he starts to attack me. And then after we locked her in another room, but she we was in another room, and then we go out and start to attack again. And we cannot move, we cannot do anything.
Why is it we have so many news stories lately, Ali, that seem like they're Saturday Night Live skits?
Exactly. And does the cat have opposable thumbs? Did he get itself out of that room? He said he locked it in a room.
Great question.
So
Great
many
question.
Questions.
My understanding from the news reports I saw yesterday, and again, this was in Stamford, Connecticut, was that I don't find any evidence that the police were sent. It sounds to me like they told the guy to stay out of his house and try again later, and that's what he did, and he was able to eventually get back into the home with his wife.
I wonder if any point she could just say, man up, and that's the end of the call.
Yes.
That would be the best.
Yes. I suspect that 911 operators are not allowed to give that advice to just man up.
It's
I think that
true.
They're kind of required to act if necessary.
That's
but
true.
That's a good one right there. And I know that there are people who are always looking for evidence that cats are evil. As far as I'm concerned, cats are ballers if a cat could do this. Why? How is that bad? I mean, this is amazing to me that a cat – I mean, if you can get a cat on your side, you've got the starters of an army, you know, as far as I'm concerned. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. What do you say?
Your judgment is impaired.
Well, that's very possible, but let's see how we're doing on today's program. Very excited to welcome our friend Jeremy Piven back to the show today. He, of course, one of the stars of Entourage in theaters everywhere. We are going to get to the topic that we had to bump earlier in the week about the top five James Bond themes of all time. Live and Let Die, obviously number one. That's a given. Beyond that, who's two, who's three, who's four, who's five, we'll discuss. Adam Kroll on the program today, believe it or not. Adam, who's practically an illiterate, has written his fourth book. It's called Daddy Stop Talking. We'll talk to Adam about that. Dave is very excited about something called Adult Summer Camp, which we'll discuss in about 15 minutes. Ralph, not so much down with the adult summer camp.
Ralph wants to torch the place. He hates adult summer camp so much.
You know he can just not go to it, right?
But I don't think he knows that. I think we need to keep reminding him of that. Absolutely.
Okay. Also, our good friend, actor, director, writer, podcaster, friend Kevin Smith is going to be on the program today. He, of course, co-hosting Hollywood Babylon with Ralph this weekend. Give you a chance to win some more Jurassic World tickets. We got more tickets for Incubus Deftones on the program today. And it's Friday. That means we've got the Movie Beat as well, plus the Showbiz Beat with Ralph. And that's next right after this on K-Rock.
And you're a new band called Dog Party.
No, that's not
doing
that.
Peanut Butter Dreams.
Not that.
Wow, they should play with Cat Party. There's a band called Cat Party.
Right.
And get Dog Party together, and they should have a big jam. Okay.
Okay, indeed. Sounds like a great idea, Ronnie.
I don't think they would get along. I would get the sense that they would not have a good time.
Dogs and cats living together, man. It's end times, right?
Yep.
Right. Hey, 5:54, it's Friday. Good morning, Ralph. How are you, man?
Oh, how could I not be happy on National Donut Day, right?
Now,
yay! The kids love it. Yay! Just pretend you heard a sound effect there. Everyone goes, yay!
But I'm confused.
Little kids, yay!
You insist?
Yes.
I'm confused.
National Donut Day.
Yay!
See, the kids love it. The kids love donuts.
They had donuts in their mouth. They couldn't.
No,
couldn't
I think they had to swallow.
Weren't you all about yesterday free donuts arriving at this?
I told you donuts will save the world.
Okay, but
I told
why?
You that yesterday.
Why did we get the donuts yesterday from the Insidious 3 kids, and then today's National Donut Day?
Maybe the donuts from the Insidious film were a promotional item.
Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't send those on National Donut Day if it's the next day and it's the day their movie opens?
Listen, Asperger's, not everything has to be connected, okay? You can send donuts any day you want if you're a movie studio. You can send donuts every day of the week. You don't have to tie it in to something on a calendar or a map.
I want things to line up. That's all I'm saying.
Steve's got to know.
No. I want you to line up against a wall wearing a blindfold in front of a bunch of guys holding rifles.
So what are we doing for National Donut Day today? Do we have
donuts? We're eating
donuts.
Yum, yum, yum. You, my good friends, can be treated to one free donut of any variety at a participating Krispy Kreme store in the U.S. and Canada. So all our Canadian affiliates, let people know up there. You can also get a Krispy Kreme. You know, National Donut Day commemorates the Salvation Army volunteers who used to provide donuts to soldiers in World War I.
I did not know that.
Yeah, the Donut Dollies, they were known as. Girls would go around and just give sailors, army guys, donuts. Right. It's not a euphemism.
Not what they wanted, but still nice.
By the way, Krispy Kreme stores in Connecticut and Puerto Rico are not participating in this.
Ugh.
So F them.
What's
F Connecticut,
Connecticut
and F, especially F Puerto Rico, because they got spiders down there the size of your face.
Now, that goes without saying, but what's
up
with Connecticut? Do you think they have some sort of arcane law in the books that prohibits giving away free food or something?
Yes, Bean. That's what I think. I think there's the legendary Connecticut no free food law.
Well, there has to be a reason.
Stop having Asperger's right now.
There has to be a reason.
I'm going to cure you of your problems right now. Stop having Asperger's.
There must be some
There
sort of
doesn't
violation.
Have to be, and we don't need to know it.
All right, we're going to look into it.
No, we're not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter why it's not happening. I'm just telling you, first of all, no one in Connecticut can hear us. Connecticut can hear us. And we're not going to Connecticut. So we don't need to know, Bean. Let it go.
He's got to know.
No, Bean does not have to know.
He is ferociously Googling right now.
Let it
go. I need to know.
I haven't even started, but I will right now. Okay. All right. Why are there free...
This is a good training exercise for you. Just let it be. Hey, if you're going to go to Disneyland on June the 15th, no, you're not. Apparently, that day, the Disneyland Magic Kingdom, the world's happiest place, will be closed.
Now, how often does that happen, that Disneyland is closed to the public?
Very rarely. Apparently, it is being rented out for a private party.
The whole park.
The whole park.
All day.
John Stamos?
For Northwest's second birthday.
You have got to be kidding me.
I kid you not.
All right, let's guesstimate how much it must cost to rent Disneyland for the day when you consider that they're going to have to, at a minimum, recoup the losses that they would normally make on that day.
Yeah, I don't know what they charge for a private party. I've never heard of such a thing. I know celebrities are often, you know, escorted through the park safely so they can avoid the fans and the paparazzi and whatnot. But it's the first time I've ever heard of Disneyland closing for a private party.
That's amazing.
And let me give you a little insight as the only parent in the room right now. It's Northwest's second birthday. You know what a two-year-old recognizes for a birthday party? Cake! That's maybe what they understand and what they care about. This day is entirely going to be lost on this kid. That she will have no idea what's going on at two in Disneyland. It is just pointless to take a two-year-old, first of all, to Disneyland, period. They might get the excitement of music and lights and stuff, but they don't understand. They don't get it. They just don't get it.
You could do that in a mall.
You could easily. You could put a, you know what you could do with Northwest? Put her in a dryer.
I don't recommend that.
Put her in a dryer with some brightly colored balls.
Maybe.
And gentle. I'm not saying full spin. Just gentle.
Okay.
Just a gentle
tumble. Like a light fluff?
A light fluff.
Okay.
Same exact experience for a two-year-old. Dumb.
It really is.
Dumb.
Is it, hey, look at me?
Oh, of course it is.
Which is weird for that family.
This is the guy who rented out a baseball park to propose to his wife to be.
That's right. He did AT&T Park in San Francisco. You're right, yeah.
No one has a bigger case of the look at me's than these people. Oh, sweet Jesus in heaven.
Dave, give Krispy Kreme in Connecticut a call, please, and just ask them, because I'm not finding anything to suggest there's a reason why they opt out of
Dave,
the promotion.
I'll take your fingers off if you dial that phone to Connecticut Krispy Kreme.
But I mean, New York is in, Massachusetts is in, Vermont is
you.
In.
You really thought there was like a blue law type of thing?
Yes. Well, the no free food law of Connecticut. It's legendary.
There has to be a reason, you guys. If it's a nationwide chain thing, one state opts out, there must be a reason.
Why is Puerto Rico opting out?
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
You racist bastard. Why don't you care why Puerto Rico's not participating?
Because it makes more sense to me that Puerto Rico, which isn't technically a state, would have some reason to.
They're a territory. They're a territory.
I know they're a territory, but it may have something to do with transport. I don't know what it has to do with.
What?
But with Connecticut, there's no
illegally transporting donuts over state lines.
I think there's they no make them there, Bean.
No, they have to bring them in, Allie.
What?
They have to shoot them through a pneumatic tube that starts apparently in Texas, and they just blow the donuts through to Puerto Rico.
Thank you, Ralph. I knew it was something like that. I just couldn't put my finger on it.
A madman.
I want an answer.
I want no answers for you, ever.
Stupid Connecticut.
Today's celebrity birthday is saxophonist Kenny G. He is 59 years old today.
Hold on a second.
What?
Come to think of it, every single Krispy Kreme excludes Connecticut in the fine print. Why? Why must Connecticut always be left in the donut scented cold? This article asks, is it because there are so few Krispy Kremes there? As far as I can tell from the chain's online store locator, there is exactly one Krispy Kreme in the entire state of Connecticut. It's in an Indian casino. It's an independently owned and operated franchise. Do you think that might have something to do with it?
Oh, you know what it probably is? Shut up!
I think Allie's got a point. I think it might, in fact, be shut up. Jeff Garland's 53 years old today. Ron Livingston's 48. Mark Wahlberg. What? No. He's 44 years old today. Peanut from 311. You know Peanut's real name is Aaron Willis?
I don't believe I knew that.
I didn't know that either. 41 years old today. Actor Nick Kroll is 37. And Pete Wentz, a Fallout Boy. He's 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dave came up with a great idea the other day, Ralph, and I don't know why you're not on board with this.
He's going to kill himself?
Nope. Listen to this. Adult summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you remember about summer camp from when you were a kid, but now you get to go as an adult.
Oh, good.
This place looks awesome. It is called Camp No Counselors.
Mm.
CampNoCounselors.com is the website if you want to check it out. Dave, you've had a chance to peruse kind of what they offer for that weekend in August where they're doing this. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, you know, it's just like like a summer camp you remember. I don't know if you guys went to summer camp.
Mm-hmm. And when I was a child.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was cool, you know? And
for a child?
Yes.
Yes.
And now you could do it as an adult.
Nope.
Why wouldn't you want to do that? Why wouldn't you want to go out in nature? And for someone like me who doesn't like to camp, you know, this is perfect because it has showers. You know, it has bunk beds. You get a party.
It's a perfect weekend.
You get a party
with
people your age and hang out and have just a good time.
Strangers.
So what?
And have hamburgers and play dodgeball.
Wait a minute. Hold on. They have hamburgers there?
You know. Oh, man.
Do you get to sleep in a bunk bed, Dave?
It's true. You do get to sleep in a bunk bed.
This is the ultimate.
All right. Well, hold on. Would you rather sleep in a bunk bed or a tent?
A king size bed
at home, but you're not at home. You're in nature now.
No,
you're out in the.
There's a lot of places you can go in nature where I don't have to sleep in bunk beds with strangers and make friendship bracelets. What the f is wrong with you? You need to grow the f up.
No way, man. When you grow up, you die.
No, you don't. You know, you become an adult. This is not America's problem that we're not being childlike enough. We're not. There's not a big epidemic of. I need to be more childish. We got plenty of that. Stop it.
No one's being childish. We're just celebrating our lives and having fun and enjoying summer.
Can I just read some of the opportunities, Ralph, that you could enjoy with maybe some friends that you bring or make some friends there?
You know what that's called? A vacation. Why don't I just go on vacation like a grown-ass man?
Can you do because a ropes just, course on vacation?
Can I what this now? Go ahead, Allie. What?
A ropes course?
A ropes course.
Water skiing?
Yes, I can do that at a lot of places.
Slip and slide?
Yeah!
What?
Yeah. High five.
Yeah. Eat coleslaw? Can you do that on your own?
Come on.
So far, there's nothing you've named that I need to go to this place
booze.
For. Wait a minute. Booze? I can't get that anywhere else. What is wrong with you?
You know, if you go camping, you have to be careful about where you drink. You can't drink out. It's like you just hang out and have a good time, man. You're under the stars.
I can hang out and have a good time under the stars anywhere I please because I have a credit card and a job. I can go anywhere. This is the reason you go to camp when you're a child because you can't go anywhere or do anything.
No, to meet new
people.
So
you have to go to a camp because that's all the option you have.
When you go,
the best part of being an adult, Dave, a grown-ass man, is... Here's my American Express. Put me in a tent anywhere I tell you to. I am a man.
Ralph, I feel like Dave has tried to bring it up a couple times, and you've kind of gone past. What's the downside of maybe hanging out with some people you don't currently know?
Because there's an excellent chance they're assholes.
That is true.
Yeah,
but
most strangers are assholes, so I spent a lot of time avoiding stranger assholes and surrounding myself.
Wow. You know why?
With my friend assholes that I know that I know exactly what kind of asshole I'm dealing with.
And that's exactly the attitude everyone has when they go on their little bougie vacation. Everyone's like, ooh, I want to stick to myself. I'm going
to
be in my hotel room. I'm going
to
stick to myself, stay in my hotel room. I'm going to be at the pool and be in my, you know, not talk to anybody. These people are all here for fun, and that's why it's going to be awesome.
Because everybody else on vacations, they're not there for
fun. No, they're there for themselves, and they're like, leave me alone. They don't want to be social.
Do you go to solitary confinement spa? Where do you go on your vacations where no one wants to talk to anybody and no one wants to have a good time?
I'm just saying, man.
You can only do it at this beat-up old campground with freaking haystacks for archery targets?
Can you do archery where you go on vacation?
Anywhere I want!
Where? Look at this rope course. It's awesome! Zip lining, everything.
This is the ultimate hipster douchebag event. Let's pretend we're 10 again. Oh, let's throw colored powder on each other and make friendship bracelets and drink cheap alcohol at the open bar. F you and everything you stand for, Dave.
Well, when I'm having fun, I'll send you a postcard from Camp No Counselor.
I hope you hang yourself on the rope course.
Look, I'm the last guy who would ever do this because I don't go places and do things with people. But I have to tell you, for somebody like Dave, who's a social guy who just likes to get out there and really go hard all weekend long, this sounds like it sounds like a safe environment. Sounds like a fun environment. He gets to do stuff he ordinarily wouldn't get to do, like play dodgeball. I mean, who doesn't want to play dodgeball?
Yeah, go buy a ball. It's just that simple.
But you're
don't you have friends? Do you have to go to a place where they like pack you in with strangers so you'll have somebody to talk to?
Yeah, I see my friends all the time. These are new people.
Why don't you like your friends?
I love my friends.
Then why do you need new people?
Because I like more friends. I want more friends.
No one wants to be your friend.
I want to fuck them all.
Listen to this. Breakfast, 9 to 10. F you.
I'll be asleep, but it's all right.
Why are you angry at 9 to 10?
Because at 10:30. What if I went at breakfast at 10:30?
Well, at that point, apparently, you have your choice between the ropes course, capture the flag, the blob, arts and crafts.
The blob is so much fun.
What's the blob, Ralph? Dave, do you know?
The blob is this big inflatable like a big inflatable thing on the lake where one person jumps on it and it will shoot you into the lake. That's fun. That's fun, man.
That sounds like fun.
That is fun.
You're horrible.
Dude, but look at 5 to 6:30. Nap. Shower. Relax.
Wait a minute.
Or do a scavenger
hunt. They let you nap? At
yes.
5 to 6:30?
Come on.
Just, if only if I could take a nap anytime I goddamn pleased. All right, listen, Dave, I don't think we've won.
Look at these assholes
today.
Dancing around the fire pit.
Oh, dancing
wearing,
so much.
Wearing crowns.
Dancing's terrible.
Like, it's like the freaking Where the Wild Thing. I hope somebody pushes them into the fire pit.
They're there's different
fun.
Themes.
The
different
pictures
themes.
Of these people, you just want to, first of all, just
well, look at these women,
them.
Though. They're pretty hot. Though.
Yeah, like
they're
those
fun.
People are going to be at your camp, by the way. I guarantee you, these people will not be within
this
100
is from
miles
an actual
of your camp.
All right, listen. We gotta,
Camp
we gotta
CW.
I don't feel like we have won Ralph over yet, Dave. Can you get us somebody on from CampNoCounselors.com next week? Can we talk to them about that?
Yes.
Because Ralph does not believe it because it's coming from us. But let's get the person on to tell
bring
us
in the
really
person responsible
out.
For this, and then I will bring in my bow and arrow, and we'll try some archery practice.
Well, you know, after I go to Camp No Counselor, I think I'll be a little more accurate than you.
Yeah. You should go to Camp No Brains. That's where you belong.
Burn, Dave.
Boom. Drop the mic.
It's Friday, you guys.
Okay. I'm with
it's
you.
Good news.
I'm with you, buddy.
Yeah.
It's
and that
Friday.
Means it's time for the movie beat. Here's Ralph on K-Rock.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry. I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
Big weekend. Big weekend at the movies. A lot of cool stuff coming out. I say this almost every week, but literally something for everybody this weekend. Starting with, in limited release, Love and Mercy. This is the fascinating story of Beach Boys leader Brian Wilson, who was a musical genius, but that came at a price. He had a psychotic break early in his life, and this covers both ends of that spectrum, from his success in the 60s with the Beach Boys into the 80s, where he becomes a broken, confused man, with a shady therapist by the name of Dr. Eugene Landy, who used to really dictate his life. John Cusack stars in this film as the older Brian Wilson. Paul Dano plays young Brian. Elizabeth Banks is the woman who, by all accounts, saves Brian's life and gets him away from Dr. Eugene Landy, played by Paul Giamatti. So, great cast.
Great cast.
Here's some clips from the trailer of Love and Mercy.
We've all grown up in California. The brothers here, Dennis, Brian, and Carl.
You hear the new Beatles? We can't let them get ahead of us.
If you want to continue to see them, you should know.
Brian is a very, very sick man.
I hear voices. I didn't tell you because I didn't want to scare you away.
The talking in your head, that's part of the song?
Jesus Christ.
Part of the music.
You are not hungry. You think you're hungry.
Brian, time for your pills. Come on.
Time for your pills, Brian.
Dude, that Eugene Landy was a bad dude.
He was.
Kept them all hopped up on drugs.
A lot of pills.
Started insisting that he get co-songwriting credit on all of his music.
Handled his finances.
Yeah.
Pretty much bankrupted the guy. Yeah, fascinating story. So I'm going to check that out.
It's a miracle Brian Wilson is still alive today, by the way.
Yes, and sharp as ever, by the way, too. If you hear him, he's just he's lucid and coherent and making some of the best music, and he's a great interview. And I hope we talk to him. Maybe on Monday we can talk to him about this.
I'd like that. See how he felt about the movie. I like it.
Spy opens up this weekend. How funny is Melissa McCarthy?
So funny.
She's all funny, right?
Yeah.
Rose Byrne, her co-star, of course, from Bridesmaids, returns in this film as well. Jude Law, Jason Statham, being funny for a change. Looks terrific. She plays a CIA analyst who has to go undercover to infiltrate a world of arms dealers for something, a mission she's ill-prepared for, but she kind of learns on the job. Paul Feig is the director of this, so he reunites with Melissa McCarthy as well. Looks very funny. Jason Statham, in this scene, is telling Melissa McCarthy just how experienced he is out in the field.
You really think you're ready for the field? I once used defibrillators on myself. I put shards of glass in my eye. I've jumped from a high-rise building using only a raincoat as a parachute and broke both legs upon landing, and I still had to pretend I was in a f***ing Cirque du Soleil show. I've swallowed enough microchips and f***ed them back out again to make a computer. This arm has been ripped off completely and reattached with this f***ing arm.
I don't know that that's possible. I mean, medically.
I'm laughing already at this film.
Have you heard from so many people like I have that Jason Statham is hysterical?
Yes, I heard this is a tour de force breakthrough performance for Jason Statham as a comedian.
I can't wait. That's awesome.
Which I think is terrific. Insidious 3. Insidious Chapter 3. Out in theaters this weekend. We talked to Dermot Mulroney about this film. This is a prequel set before the haunting of the Lambert family that shows how a psychic tried to use her ability to contact the dead in order to help a teenage girl who lives in this house. She is targeted by a supernatural entity, and that's never a good thing. And apparently somebody eats bloody donuts in this film. I'm not sure how it's connected, but we were eating all bloody donuts yesterday from these people. Here are some clips from the trailer of Insidious Chapter 3.
It's like sometimes I can feel her around me.
Mom?
You have to be very careful. If you call out to one of the dead, all of them can hear you.
I don't know what's real, and I don't know what to do to stop it.
It's feeding on her soul.
What's happening? Is she dying?
Yes.
I'll be waiting in the dark when the pain finally kills you.
No!
It all takes place at Camp No Counselors, by the way.
Oh, no.
Yes, that's where this whole movie takes place. And lastly, Entourage. They're back, the boys. You got Vinny, Eric, Turtle, Johnny, Ari Gold, the legendary super agent, now turned studio head in this film. All dealing with a risky project that will serve as Vince's directorial debut. Vinny Chase is moving on to be a director. Only good things can come from this, right?
Sure.
It is loaded, star-studded with cameos. It's everything you expect from Entourage, just up on the big screen. Here's a scene from Entourage where Ari is telling Mark Wahlberg that they want to cut Johnny Drama out of the movie.
What's the matter? Your girlfriend lock you out of debt anymore?
No, my co-financier.
Are you serious? Well, my boys will break down the door right now. He's crazy.
Vinny.
What's up, Ari? What kind of studio are you running around here?
Mark, hey, calm down.
Dude, I'm calm, but you better get excited. I mean, you don't want everybody around town thinking that this is how you treat your filmmakers.
Right? What's going on? I am dealing with it.
Yeah, what, well, he said he's not going to release any more money. Can he do that?
Ari, he's got issues.
But he doesn't like the movie?
It doesn't matter.
Tell him the truth. Don't be shy.
He doesn't like drama. He wants to cut him out.
What? No.
Dude, you can't cut Vinny's brother.
Oh, there's going to be hell to pay. For Entourage, this is making a lot of money already. It opened on Wednesday, so people are going.
Who can we root for in Entourage? Who's the person that you despise the least in that show?
What is wrong with you? Don't you love the boys? Don't you want to hang with the boys?
Who is there to root for?
The boys are back. You root for Vinny. You root for Eric. Root for Ari.
You're just naming people now. You're not giving me anyone who you like.
Come on, Ari's the best. Ari's the best. He's always been the best. He's my favorite character.
He's an asshole.
He's not.
You don't root for him, though.
He's the guy you want on your side. He's fighting the fight for you. He's protecting you. He's going to the mat for you. And he's got that shrill wife at home who's always busting his nads. Come on, Ari.
Well, we'll talk to Ari later on the program today. Jeremy Piven's going to join us.
So those are your picks for the weekend. I think... Spy looks most enticing to me. And then after that, the Brian Wilson story, because I like peanuts. I think that's a quote from Brian Williams about the film, so you can check it out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Adam Carolla on the program later this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, actor Jeremy Piven will join us. What is CatCon and why is it in Los Angeles? And our old friend Kevin Smith in about 50 minutes or so as well. Allie, I don't know if you're like me, but you love new technology.
Yeah.
This Hound app is my new favorite thing. I'm blown away by it.
Do you wish you had this earlier for a donut question?
As a matter of fact, it'd be a great question to ask. Maybe we will ask that question. What is Hound? It's made by SoundHound. It is a speech recognition app. You're going to want to compare it to Siri, but it apparently, according to the demo that I've seen, it is so much better than Siri for two reasons. One is it has the greatest speech recognition ever. You know how Siri, you kind of have to speak slowly and it misses a lot of words and doesn't hear you and whatnot. This one seems to be able to talk to you. It's artificial intelligence almost. Seems to be able to talk to you like a human. And the other thing that it has is it has language understanding as well. So it's able to process things far more quickly. You know, one of the demo questions, for instance, that I was watching online yesterday is, hey, what's the population of the country in which the Space Needle is? You know, that's the type of question that you could trip up a person with, much less a computer. And, of course, you know, this Hound app is smart enough to realize you're asking a question about the United States, not about Seattle, even though you mentioned Space Needle. So listen to a little bit of this demo, and then we'll tell you more about how this Hound speech recognition app works.
What time is it in Tokyo?
It is 10:53 a.m. the next day in Tokyo.
What time is it in Tokyo when it's 2 p.m. in San Francisco, California?
It is 6 a.m. the next day in Tokyo when it is 2 p.m. in San Francisco, California.
When is the sun going to rise 2 days before Christmas of 2021 in Tokyo, Japan?
Sunrise in Tokyo, Japan will be at 6:47 a.m. on Thursday, December 23rd, 2021.
How many days are there between the day after tomorrow and 3 days before the second Thursday of November of 2022?
There are 2,714 days between the day after tomorrow and Monday, November 7th, 2022.
How does it do that?
Whoa.
How is that on an app?
Siri would say, I looked up these websites for you.
Yes, exactly.
No, Siri.
Right. All right. I'm not sure. Do we have someone to talk to, or do we just have a copy of the app that we can play with here? What do we have? I don't know who I'm asking this question.
I think we have the app.
We have the app. Okay. Well, this is fantastic. Well, let's try it here. Hello, app. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. Thank you.
Wow. All right. So, Allie, what kinds of questions should we ask the app now that we have it here?
Well, you probably have a whole bunch in your head just percolating.
Why do they not give away free donuts in Connecticut on Krispy Kreme Free Donut Day?
Because no one in Connecticut has a butthole and it makes them feel bad because there's holes in donuts.
Wow, I just had to foresee that answer.
I was not expecting that.
If I jumped off the ground on Mars and I weighed 200 pounds, how high up would I go?
It doesn't really matter. You're a fat ass.
Wow. The Hound's kind of a dick.
What's the most popular movie The Rock has ever been in, and which of his movies is the best?
The best movie that The Rock is in the movie that The Rock was in.
I'm sorry. I missed that. Could you try to get Hound?
You snooze, you lose.
name for me the next 10 male heirs to the British throne.
Steve, Alan, Kevin, Bart, Jim. Did I say Steven?
I think you did say Steve. Hound? Hound?
Bill, Craig, and Louis.
Are you positive that's accurate information, Hound?
Yes.
Okay. If LeBron James were not playing basketball, what would he be doing?
Slinging yayo.
Do you think that's a little bit racist?
Not if he knew his coke habit.
Okay. How come the Incredible Hulk shirt always rips, but his pants never do?
His pants are made out of Kevlar.
Oh.
Oh, wow. An actual answer.
Excellent.
Hound, do you think the Dairy Queen would ever date the Burger King?
Absolutely. Then they would have a milkmaid.
What is the likely square footage of the automobile that K-Rock Radio's Allie McKay lives in?
8.
All right. Sound about right, Allie?
It's right on. Okay. What about adult summer camp? Would you ever be interested?
Adult summer camp is for douchebags. They should call it Camp No Lives instead of Camp No Counselors.
Can you teach me how to do the cat daddy?
I can teach you how to use the cat daddy or do the cat daddy or whatever it is you said. Just get a Kate Upton video and look at it. Drop your pants.
Hound has got it going on. Kevin Smith is our guest next hour in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we'll hook up with more tickets for the K-Rock screening of Jurassic World. That's coming up. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, before you get started.
Yes!
We have an answer to the question of why Connecticut is the only state in union that does not give you free donuts at the Krispy Kreme on National Donut Day.
Who cares?
49 states say yes to free donuts.
Who cares?
Not Connecticut. I think Dave made a call to the lone Krispy Kreme store in Connecticut. Here's his answer.
Although they are listed as not participating, if you go and ask, they will give you a free donut at the Mohegan Sun location.
Woo! What? Free donuts for everyone! All across America!
Are you okay now? Are you happy now?
That's fantastic.
Why are they listed, though, as not participating?
That's another good question. Does Dave need to call back?
No.
I just wanted to spin being out of control again by just posing a postscript question.
I just feel like the world has been set right now that you can get free donuts at all locations rather than one exclusion.
That's why did you possibly care what was going on in Connecticut?
Because it just doesn't seem fair or right, or it doesn't make sense.
It's they're allowed the injustice,
to, they're
really.
Allowed to set up the rules of any giveaway any way they want.
All right, if you're on your way home, I don't want to take up your time here, Ralph, but if you're on your way home today and you go, hey, you know what, I'm going to pull into McDonald's on my way home, get a little something. And you pull in and they go, I'm sorry, sir, at this location we don't serve french fries. Perhaps another location.
Okay.
You would be like, what the F
then
is
I'll
this McDonald's not serving french fries
the next location.
But don't you want some sort of standardization among your retail outlets?
Wow, you. I can't imagine just the bat-esque crazy world that lives inside your head. I can't imagine what that's
better.
Like all the time. No wonder you're exhausted all the time because your brain is just on fire constantly.
Dave, thank you for making the call. I appreciate it. I do feel better. Time for the Showbiz Beat now here on a Friday. What's going on?
I have tickets to give you to the K-Rock Microbrew at Santa Anita Belmont Steaks Day Party.
Yay!
Not just any tickets. These are VIP tickets. It's a four-pack. You and three friends get backstage access, drink access. $106. Drink tickets, rather. Not drink access. Anyone has drink access. But you'll get tickets for drinks. And you'll get $106 on a voucher you can use to bet on the ponies there at Santa Anita Racetrack, which is just a beautiful track there in lovely Arcadia, California. If you'd like to go, why wouldn't you? You can hang out with Nicole Alvarez will be there, Omar, Dave the King of Douchebags will be there, Lightning, Super Steve, Miss Double December herself will be there. There's live racing all day. You can also bet, of course, on the Belmont Stakes, which has the potential to be historic. As American Pharoah makes the run for the Triple Crown, it all starts at 11 a.m. Let me give you a four-pack of VIP tickets right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Since it's a four-pack of tickets, how about caller number four gets this special VIP package? And if you don't win, just go anyway because it's a good time. You'll enjoy yourself. Speaking of tickets and the fact that Kevin Smith's coming up next, Kevin and I bring Hollywood Babylon back to the stage at the Improv on Melrose tonight. At 10 p.m., we'd love to have you there. Go to improv.com to get your info and more tickets. And then the following weekend, Saturday night, at the Irvine Improv is where we're going to be hanging out. So come out and join us.
Nope.
We have a pretty good time.
Nope.com.
Sad news. Nichelle Nichols, Lieutenant Uhura from the Star Trek franchise, has been hospitalized after she suffered a mild stroke. Why is there a tuba for stroke?
Well, it's just
sad. Kids. She's not dead.
I know. But still, she's sad. It's still not good.
She's undergoing tests to determine how severe the stroke was, sadly. But her family and representatives ask you to please keep her in your thoughts. So if you're a Star Trek fan, you want to keep a good thought out for Lieutenant Uhura. And it turns out the petition we talked about yesterday asking the International Olympic Committee to take away Caitlyn Jenner's gold medal. Because Bruce Jenner and Kate Jenner are two completely different people, and if Bruce was a woman since he was a little boy inside, then it was a woman competing against men, and that should make it invalid. Well, that was a hoax, that petition. That was from the prank group 4chan. Set that up, and everybody ran with it. All the major media outlets, CBS News and the Washington Post and TV Guide, everybody ran with that story. However, the really creepy, scary part is not that someone would put that up as a hoax, was the fact that the petition had received more than 13,500 signatures.
Wow. Yeah, maybe don't clap. That's sad.
So they may have started as a hoax, but there were people out there who were willing to get on that bandwagon.
Absolutely.
Which is just terrifying in so many ways.
I remember when the Diane Sawyer interview aired, Ralph, and you said that there had been a huge increase in buying and selling
merch.
Of Bruce Jenner merchandise on eBay and other sites. And I don't think we knew, and I still don't. Is that people who are just cashing in that he's suddenly famous all over again, or is that people who are like, he's not my hero anymore.
I've heard both.
Get this out of my house.
I heard both. People said that now I reject his achievements. I'm disgusted. And they were selling off their Wheaties boxes and other stuff. And then other people were just trying to make a buck because he was in the spotlight. But
unbelievable.
Crazy. And we've been following the story about the Kardashians renting out Disneyland for Northwest's second birthday party on June the 15th. We hear the details we know so far. Yes, you can rent Disneyland out for a day. But besides the cost of the park, you also have to pick up whatever their average would be in terms of concession, food, and beverage sales in the park as well.
I can't even imagine what Disneyland must make in a day, though.
I can't either. And an inside source tells me that this request has been made. They're debating accommodating the West Kardashian family, but may still yet be rejected because they are entering the peak time of the season. It is the 60th anniversary, so they haven't decided whether it's going to happen or not yet. So there's still hope. Everyone, stand by your radios and telephones. We'll give you as much information as we can the minute it comes in.
You think Kanye will have a sour look on his face if he doesn't get his way?
Regardless, you see him on Small World just scowling.
So mad. I actually now want to see pictures of him with, like, Mickey and Minnie just pissed off.
Just superimpose him everywhere. Oh. Him stand next to Goofy, like, looking all sad. 2 years old, by the way, once again. Just want to let you know. The second birthday. What do you do for the Sweet 16 if Northwest is going to rent out Disneyland for her second birthday? Was it a moonshot? You send her into orbit?
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Pete Wentz of Fallout Boy. He's 36. Nick Kroll. I like Nick. Funny guy. 37 years old today.
I like Krolls. It is National Donut Day.
I mean, isn't it a cruller?
It's not a Kroll.
Oh, is that what they are?
It's a cruller.
And I just said a crulla. I was so... Wow, I apologize.
We need a weekend, you guys.
311 basis Peanut is 41 years old. Mark Wahlberg. What? No. He's 44 years old. I think that's a Transformer. Ron Livingston's 48. Jeff Garland's 53.
No!
And saxophonist Kenny G. Oh, the smooth jazz stylings of Kenny G. We got to get some Kenny G up in this joint.
I don't know that we
Oh,
do.
Yeah. I need some Kenny G, man.
If anyone touches my man Kenny G, I'm going to be up in their face.
What?
I'm going to start some
That's right. Kenny G sets you off on the weekend, that groove, man. You just want to begin. Just get you ready.
For
sweet loving.
Sweet death.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me tell you about Kevin Smith. Let me tell you about our friend, director, producer, screenwriter, actor, author, podcaster, legend, Kevin Smith.
Is he dead?
A lesser man. Knowing he had this interview scheduled today, would have canceled when the bad news came out yesterday. He would have said, Kevin and Bean, I'm hurting too bad to come in and yuck it up with you guys. Now that Degrassi, The Next Generation, has been canceled, I need to clear my schedule, just spend some alone time thinking about it.
I'm here
but
to
Kevin Smith,
that.
To your credit, dude, you're here.
I am. It's been Thank tough. You for that. It's been a Thank really hard that. 24 hours. Not since my father died tragically of a heart attack.
Yeah.
Have I felt this poorly? Can I just point out that the show's not being canceled? Does anyone read those articles? It's just not going to be on
They're
Teen.
Just wrapping it up.
No. It's not going to be on the Degrassi, the Teen
oh,
Nick
Teen
Network.
Nick?
That's it.
What?
It's still being made up north.
So it won't be cut. It just won't be aired here in America.
Yes. Which they also, if everybody reads the articles, boy, what headline chasers everybody. They're like, Degrassi's canceled. Aren't you mad? I was like, I mean, I was a little upset until I read the first paragraph. And they said that it's just not going to be on that Nickelodeon channel anymore. But they're very clear. They're like, we're still producing it. And it'll probably wind up on another American carrier. So even in the article.
That's not even news then.
Bingo. It was such a slow news day that they were like, Degrassi's canceled, but not really. That was the news.
Son of a bitch.
I thought you were talking about the sad news that Kevin's sick. I was like, right on. Oh. No, I jumped at the opportunity to be the only Kevin in the room. I thought, hey, coming in here, I got to share Kevin's space.
That's not sad news for anybody when Kevin's sick.
You guys are all happy. Yeah. Can I talk about a little sad news, though, before we go anyplace? Really?
Yes,
seriously?
But thank you for clearing up the Degrassi news, because I bet there were some people like me who just glanced at it and thought it was bad news. So that's awesome.
Wait, I will that page right out of Hollywood Babylon tonight and toss that aside.
Totally. I will take credit for pointing it out. But I didn't, you know, that's not, I didn't do
you didn't
it.
Write the
yeah, I just read the articles. That's all I did. I just want to talk about what I think is maybe the tragedy of alcoholism, which I was reminded of this morning when I saw that Ralph's car was what I assumed is drunk parked in the parking lot. Can you park between the lines? What is your problem?
I create my own parking space.
He does that, and it's an open lot when he gets here.
It's crazy.
I like to be right there. That's where I like to be.
It's almost like you're doing a tailgate party, man. And you showed up 4 hours late. We're like, you got wieners, and then passed out.
That's how I roll, man.
And they're like, should we move his car? Like, nah, let it be there as a sad reminder when he wakes up that
you know what?
He didn't follow the rules.
I don't live by your rules, okay?
It's so shameful.
I'm a free spirit.
How can we get past this? Who parks like this? And there's 40 empty spots everywhere.
You don't know, man.
You just that sleepy when you get here?
I play by my own rules. I'm like one of those rogue cops.
You are.
Who go out there and I just solve crimes my way. And you're trying to take my gun and my badge and make me do what the mayor's pressuring you to do.
The only way in which you're a rogue cop is in the way in which they drive the car poorly with a guy on the hood going from side to side. And I think you're both the guy on the hood and the guy driving the car based on the looks.
I have to go move my car now. I'll be back.
I was going to ask to get your keys and repark it, but, you know. I was bummed about Degrassi.
That is the voice of our friend Kevin Smith of the Kevin Smith Show, by the way, in town and performing at the Hollywood Babylon tonight at the Hollywood Improv. Showtime is 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you can get the tickets at csmod.com. Or can you go to improv.com as
well?
You
can go to improv.com and click on Hollywood, yeah.
And then next weekend you're going to be doing the Saturday show. That one's at the Irvine Improv. Tickets for both shows are on sale right now. Yes. Hey, Mr. Smith, I got a chance to just briefly, very briefly see you in person last week. It doesn't happen very often.
I know. I spotted you like a unicorn Sasquatch, man. I was like, there he is. Everybody! And you were wearing a Harry Potter cloak of invisibility so that the moment a fan came near, you disappeared.
We tried to hit you with a net gun, and we just couldn't get you.
Me and Chris Pratt were on motorcycles trying to catch you.
We shook hands, and I got a chance to wave at your wife.
Yes.
You were at you two at the Roxy event.
Astounding show. I've been talking about it elsewhere,
right?
In the world. Oh, Lord. I'm not... And I've been telling people, I respect you too. They've been around for forever, since I was a kid at this point. 40 years, right? Is that how long they've been doing?
That's right. Yeah,
and there are definitely, there have been songs, with or without you, a big song in my life and stuff. But I'm not like, there's a new U2 album. I've respected them, but I've never gone to a U2 concert. I don't like live music because I can never hear the lyrics. It's always, the music is more powerful than lyrics. When my wife was like, look, you know this Ralph Garman guy. And I was like, yeah, very well.
Is that still what she calls me?
Totally.
She's
still kind of like, I don't know this. I don't trust him. But
guy who can't park.
Yeah, she's like, I've seen him park in front of the house. It's terrifying. She said, ask Ralph that they're going to have a U2 gig at the Roxy. See if you can get tickets. And my wife never asks for anything. If I'm like, hey, I'm going to be on K-Rock, she's like, well, that's sad for Los Angeles. Like, she doesn't tune in or anything like that. But this moment, she was like, I want to use your connects to get to U2. And so I asked Ralph, and Ralph's like, I'll see what I can do. And he got us tickets. So we went. And, you know, I was dutifully going. Like, she was like, oh, my God, it's going to be like when I was 14 and heard Pride for the first time.
You were her escort for the night.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I thought for every, you know, Comic-Con she's ever gone with me to or whatever, I could do this for her. So I went, and I was blown away. And here's what I loved. Very rarely do you get to see insanely exceptional craftspeople practicing their art, work, job, whatever it is, their vocation. Watching those four guys, you don't have to be a fan. You would have to be an evil robot from another planet to not be moved and not be like, that's crazy. As you sit there and watch them do what they do so well, sing and perform, you sit there going like, I don't know really anything about these guys. Other than the fact that they've been doing it for 40 years. I mean, I know Bono helps a lot of people out, and I know The Edge must have a real name. The rest are like the Gilligan's Island, Adam Clayton and Mullins and stuff. But you never heard about their lives. There's no stories about, like, this one's doing this, this one's doing that. All these dudes have ever focused on is their jobs and just gotten exceptionally better. They're like Rush in that way. There's no Sturm und Drang and drama surrounding them. They do their jobs. They do it very well. And you don't think about them if you're not a big fan. They're just part of the cultural landscape.
Right.
Then you're standing in a room where you could throw a tissue at Bono. You're so close to Bono that you're like, oh, my God, he looks like Robin Williams.
Yes.
Like, he's throwing water from a bottle and a speck hits you. And you're like, I could sue. Like, this is insane. And as you watch them perform, like, you can't help but be like, wow, this is religious. It's like watching experts do what they do. Like,
it was very
after
special.
40 years,
it was
very special. Room of 400 or 500 people.
Yeah.
So close, intimate, fun. It was like taking a walk through my childhood. Like, they started with I Will Follow, and I was like, oh my Lord, I'm 13 again. I wasn't. But I was
I looked pumping. Over. You weren't, by the way.
No, I wasn't. Yeah, no. Ralph, you were doing a lot of looking. I was looking forward to where the four Miracle Men were making music. Yes. Ralph was facing the back of the room going like, Judd Apatow's here. Sean Penn's here.
I was giving
Is
you
Charlize
the update.
Theron going to come with Sean? We'll see soon. She's not here yet.
I walked the show business.
This Looky Lou, man. He was all just like, who are the famous people?
Because
like,
it was cool.
Famous people are performing right in front of us.
It was an event. It was larger than even the concert, which I thought was cool to see everybody, the upper echelon of show business. Even those people get sort of in awe and starstruck when they're in the presence
like
of a band
like how often are you at a place
too?
With Jack Nicholson, for God's sake?
Right? Is he there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
He came with Danny DeVito.
Yep. What?
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought I was the shortest, fattest guy in the room. I didn't know I was competing with DeVito. Really?
Yeah.
The Joker and the Penguin were there?
They were there. Yeah.
And you didn't point that out? You of all people? Why didn't you walk over and start Adam Westing them?
I should put my cowl and cape on.
They're like, we weren't in that version.
Well, Kevin, let me just say this, and you told it beautifully. It was a very special night, and I'm glad you got to be a part of it, is that so much of U2 Live in recent years has been how big they can make their shows, and the drones, and the screens, and the costumes and the fly mask and everything else. But when you strip all of that away, at the core of it, you just have fantastic musicians and performers. And that was my takeaway, was, oh, my God, these guys are not only the biggest band in the world, they're very nearly the best band in the world, too.
And adeptly switched. I agree with you completely, Ben. Adeptly switched from arena mode to club mode. Mm-hmm. Like, you would have thought, oh, they always do this. And I was told they haven't been on a stage or played in a club that small and close to
since the beginning of their career.
Yeah. Yeah. But the intimacy of that show was not like four dudes going, how do we play to a room this small? Like, effortless.
Yep.
I mean, they talk about, like, oh, musicians make love to the crowd. Poetically, romantically. This is the first time I ever saw it where I was like, holy Lord.
A lot of women did make love to that woman in the crowd, by the way.
Yeah, right. There was a lot. He brought her up on the
stage.
During
a beautiful day.
Yeah. Yes. And what about when he went leaning on the one, like, arm or elbow that
shattered?
Yeah. Yes.
And then during Vertigo, he tried crowd surfing.
Yes.
I'm telling
what
you.
What are you doing?
We sound like we're shills for U2, but I'm not. But I'm telling you, could be the world's biggest U2 hater and been in that room, and you would have been transformed. You're like, oh, what have I been thinking? Like, these dudes are great. And I went home, and I bought a Best Of
did
album.
Load up?
And
yeah.
I've been listening to all week, man. One is my jam all week.
That's awesome. Yeah, Kevin Smith is here. He'll be appearing tonight with Ralph Garman for Hollywood Babylon. Tickets available at improv.com or csmod.com. That's 10 o'clock show tonight, and then next weekend on Saturday at the Irvine Improv. More with our guest in a moment on K-Rock. Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is the G-rated version of what you'll get tonight on stage at the Hollywood Improv for Hollywood Babylon. You can go to improv.com or csmod.com to get your tickets to see the boys in person. It's astonishing to me, by the way. Yeah. 4 years? 5 years?
How Almost long 5 years. It'll be 5 years later this summer.
Is that what
Crazy.
It is?
Crazy. Yeah.
Wow. How do you know that? You write it down?
August,
are you
September,
a closet romantic at heart?
No, but every year around that time.
I remind you? I'm like, where's my gift?
No, I need to look up the date so that we can celebrate our anniversary. So I always find myself going back to the beginning and seeing when it started. I think it was August, September sometime.
Let me tell you a story about the power of Hollywood Babylon. So Ralph Garman I've known for years from coming in here to Kevin and Bean. And then I came in one episode years ago where I was like, hey, I bought a theater. I'm renting a theater. We're going to do podcasts at this theater on Smodcastle on Santa Monica. And so, you know, after every appearance, me and Ralph go outside. Usually I was a cigarette smoker in those days, I think. So have a cigarette and chit chat and like, hey, what about this?
And you ate food back then, too.
Ate food as well,
that's
man.
Right.
So Ralph was going, hey, like, let's do that show. We were talking about trying to do a radio show of us talking about Hollywood. Let's do that at that theater. So I was like, oh, okay. And we went and one day sat together and Hollywood Babylon was born. Ralph has an audience here, so he was able to fill that theater by telling people, hey, come see us do the show. Now, prior to me walking onto that stage to sit next to Ralph and starting an incredible 5-year journey where, like, every Friday of my life, I have felt relevant in Los Angeles because I can go to either the Lovitz when we work there and it'd be sold out, or go to the Improv, which is a very famous comedy club that a young kid who loved comedy was like, I'd never be there. I'd be in an audience there, not on the stage, and sell it out every week. So every week I feel like, oh, my Lord, at least 200 people think like, nah, that dude's worth our time in this city. That's tough to pull people in seats on a Friday night, Saturday night in Los Angeles. So there's that. That's been the gift. But this has been the amazing gift that came from Hollywood Babylon. Mere a month before I think we sat down to record the first episode there, I was on an episode of another podcast called Smodcast, bitterly eschewing, talking about how loathsome the impressionist is in the world of entertainment. The lowest rung of the entertainment ladder has to be the impressionist. You sound like somebody? It's not a talent. You can hear it. This whole episode of Smodcast, me railing about it. We sit down to do Babylon, me and Ralph, and Ralph proceeds to unpack his bag of impressions. And the first time it happens, I looked over at him going like, is that what we're doing? We're doing an impression show? Over the course of that time, I watched that dude unpack the same 12 impressions, perfect, pitch-perfect impressions, and make people laugh from those tiny stages here in town, like the Smart Castle stage, to the bigger improv stage, to Toronto, where it's like 1,200 people, to every place, to Reno, where it was 1,000. Every place we've taken, like, the dude crushes with those impressions. So when I was working on this movie Yoga Hosers, man, there was supposed to be a Michael Parks, who was in this movie Tusk I did. He played the old man.
And he's, Red State, too.
And Red State, and much better movies than mine. He's been in Quentin's stuff and Robert's stuff. He was supposed to play the villain in the third act, but he was ill when we were shooting, so we couldn't go with him. And we literally had nobody to fill that slot. And the whole movie was written around the third act and Parks being in it. So I had taken my financiers to see Hollywood Babylon the night before. And I hit them up with this idea. I was like, you know what, man? Like, what if I made Ralph that guy? Because Ralph can do so many impressions. And I can change the character so he's this. And we can basically show off, like, everything you guys saw last night. Because they loved Ralph. They were like, this guy's incredible. And in my head, I'm like, really? An impressionist? But it's still, I'm like... That's incredible. But I was like, he is, isn't he? So I pitched him on, like, let me rewrite the third act because we were going to shoot in like a week and write it with Ralph as the villain. And they're like, all right. And I did. They read it. They dug it. They loved Ralph. We went and shot it. This movie's done now. I only bring it up because we locked our picture and our sound mix this week. I've seen all the effects. And Ralph finally saw it last week. It is one of my favorite things I've ever done. It's a really goofy movie for 12-year-old girls. It's a tween girl movie. If you're an adult, you can sit through it because there's enough.
Finally,
like,
you made a movie for me.
Yes, exactly,
this
dude.
Is film.
This is the first PG-13 movie I've made since Jersey Girl. The first one's not a horror movie. This is a funny movie. So Ralph, like, we've had a screening now where we took it and showed the agents and stuff because they're taking it out to sell it. And everybody after the screening, like, first thing is, those girls are wonderful. That dude with the impressions. And some people in Los Angeles are like, Ralph, that was Ralph Garman. You took him from Kevin B. Everybody lauds the third act of the movie. And they laud it specifically for Ralph's performance, which is basically the Ralph you hear every week on Hollywood Babylon. The whole third act in the movie is like this ode to Ralph. And I turned to him in a moment of pressure where I was like, dude, I have nobody in my third act. This character, like, I acts opposite Johnny Depp's character and the girls. It's a huge, like, moment. You got to carry it or else I don't know what I'm going to do. And Ralph, like, not only carried it, man, he makes the movie. And it's a lesson in, you think you hate something. You think you're, like, impressionist. This impressionist saved my life and my career, man. And he's phenomenal in the flick. That's why I wanted to bring it up. We had
Ralph,
that screening.
You have the movie?
You're very kind. Me notwithstanding, I'm not one of those people who's very comfortable watching or listening to themselves work. Kevin has been inviting me to see this film for months now, and I keep putting him off because I don't like to watch myself.
He's like, I don't like your movies.
Well, that too.
I was like, I know, but this one you're in.
I've been burned before by you, Smith. Oh, come see this movie. Then I watch it, and it's that.
Walrus? No.
So I've been putting it up, but I got a chance to finally see it. And me notwithstanding, I had issues with watching myself. But the film as a whole is so entertaining and so wildly fun and just a joy. And Depp is having the time of his life. And the two girls who are the lead, Kevin's daughter and Johnny's daughter, who are just, you watch them sort of blossom in front of your eyes into these adorable little actresses. It is just a joy. It's so much effing fun that I was so proud to be a part of it after it was over. Me notwithstanding, I think people are really going to enjoy
it. But do it. You're on mic. What did you... You watched yourself acting opposite. And I'm not saying, like, he had a... Like, oh, he's got a quick scene with Johnny Depp. Like, he literally... It's like watching two people chew the scenery. Two actors being as big as life chewing the scenery. Acting at each other like wizards with wands. Like, it's a showdown of hammy performances. When you watched yourself up there with, like, one of the greatest actors in the world... What did you, like, just remove the, I can't watch me. What went through your head? I got to know.
I was thrilled that I was not blown off the screen.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's an excellent point, man. Because that's an actor's point. You're like, I could have lost that scene very easily.
You're going with Johnny Depp, the biggest movie star in the world, and I'm going to act opposite him for what amounts to, I don't know, 20 minutes?
Yes,
I don't
know, it's the whole third act of the movie.
The whole third act of the film. And I said, going into it, I said, there's a chance here that I will disappear. Because Johnny Depp is not only Johnny Depp, he's a master, but he's also got a beret on and a funny prosthetic nose, and he is as big as he gets.
If you've seen him in Tusk, that's
what he is. Yeah, the same character. And I was like, I don't know if I can hold my own. And the fact that I didn't get blown off the screen was a major achievement for me. It was a big sigh of relief. I was like, hey, you know what? I held my own. I held my own with one of the heavyweights. It's like Rocky. You know, you don't need to win the fight. Yes. But if you go the distance, you feel like that's enough of an achievement.
It's more like, to me, it's Bull Durham. It's like you've been there forever, man, as a stalwart entertainer. And then somebody was like, all right, step up to the plate. You just so happen to be acting opposite this guy, and you didn't buckle. You weren't like you held up, man, and you own the third act of the movie. It's wonderful.
This fall, Kevin, you think?
Yeah, we start showing it now to people. We're all done. We made it independently with this wonderful company called Starstream, with an eye toward making it and then going and selling it, and then hopefully we're going to debut it at the Toronto Film Festival. Last year we did that with Tusk, so hopefully we're going to do that with Yoga Hosers this
Beautiful.
Year.
Beautiful. Hey, speaking of movies, by the way,
yeah.
Jurassic World is coming out next weekend, June
Cannot
12th.
Wait, man. Just rewatched Lost World and Jurassic Park 3 in anticipation of this, getting ready, man. Not for this, what we're about to do, but the movie. And I noticed something for the first time ever. Amazing CG that still holds up to this day.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of shots where the camera goes under and over dinosaurs and up from behind. Not a single one of those dinosaurs have a CGI anus. Look at that movie.
Well,
everything else is realistic, insanely cool. Realistic. They got boogers, they got crud under their nails, but all of a sudden they come around the tail, and I'm like, show it, and nothing.
No,
it's
but.
Just smooth
How
as a kendo.
No brontosaurus butthole?
That's my complaint. I ain't taking anything away from Steven Spielberg. He's a genius, but, you know, if you had done that, you're a brilliant genius.
I think butthole
genius.
For butthole, you're a bigger filmmaker
Thank
than
you.
He is.
I've shown
frankly.
More.
Yes, you
Jason
have.
Muses, I think, in a few movies.
I've always said it needs 12th. More T-Rex taint.
Yes. You can see it on the 10th. It's the K-Rock screening at AMC City Walk. We are looking for contestants right now to earn your way in. We have something very fun planned for you since we have a couple of actors in the studio with us. 1-800-520-1067. If you want to play a game, you can win some tickets for the K-Rock screening of Jurassic World. Call now here on K-Rock. Friday morning on the world-famous K-Rock, it's 106.7 KROQ. One of the most anticipated films of the summer of 2015 is called Jurassic World. You can see it on June 10th at the AMC City Walk. It opens up everywhere in theaters on June 12th.
Kevin believes there's not enough ass in Jurassic World, however.
Right?
Yeah.
It's true. You had the whole radio break to think of that joke.
I did. Yeah.
when we were talking about it, couldn't come to you, but now here we are.
Kevin Smith is here. He's going to help out since we've got two actors in the room with him, with Ralph Garman, with a little piece that we like to call Spielberg Theater. Hit it, Steve.
Kevin and Bean present Spielberg Theater. Our thespians will perform a scene from a Steven Spielberg film. Identify the film and you can go to the special screening of Jurassic World.
Wow, that sounds easy enough.
Just
Steven Spielberg,
simple.
Of course, made the first couple of Jurassic Park movies. He's back producing this one. Ralph, you and Kevin Smith are going to be doing scenes from famous and popular Steven Spielberg movies, and all the caller has to do is tell us what the name of that film is, and they win the tickets. Do
it's
I have that
just
right?
That simple. These are all films that Spielberg has directed, just all to right. give you an extra extra clue so you don't have to worry about what he produced and stuff.
Okay. All right, let's take them in order. Chip, we'll start in Santa Clarita on line one. Todd is going to be up first. Hi, Todd. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for calling, man.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing good, great. Listen up. These guys are going to act out a scene from a Steven Spielberg-directed movie, and you just tell us what film it is. Good luck.
All right.
Do I go first?
Yes.
Here we go.
All right.
And action.
You go first.
I am going. I'm playing. Aren't I Silent Bob?
No.
My bad.
I thought you were doing a different movie.
Whenever I quote-unquote act, I usually am Silent Bob. My bad.
Spielberg film.
Here we go. So that's right. He wasn't in a Spielberg film.
No, he was not.
That's always
no.
been the problem.
That's right.
Here we go. Okay. So what are you supposed to be? A lion tamer?
I'm allowing you to tag along. Why don't you give your mouth a rest, okay, doll?
What do you mean, tag along? Ever since you got into my club, you haven't been able to take your eyes off me.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. All right. What do you think there, Todd?
I think they're bad actors.
That's the challenge of the game, Kevin. Have you guessed what Spielberg film?
Let's go with...
Well, you got to be able to come up with at least one. That was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom is what we were looking for this time, but thank you for playing.
All right.
Good advice for everyone on hold, by the way. If you have one in mind, that way at least you have a guess if you don't know. Let's say hello to contestant number two. This is Carlos in Van Nuys. Hi, Carlos. How you be?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Carlos.
Good morning.
Here's your Spielberg movie, the scene acted out just for you, okay?
Maybe a marlin or stingray, but it's definitely a game fish. Oh!
Game and fish, eh? Marlin, stingray, bit through this piano wire. Don't tell me my business again. You get back on the bridge.
Quit. That doesn't prove a damn thing.
Well, it proves one thing, Mr. Hooper, that you wealthy college boys don't have education enough to admit when you're wrong.
Boom! What do you think there, Carlos?
Beta Rocket, that's my favorite movie ever, Jaws!
Yeah! Mine too, I love that movie.
You're going to the screening, sir. Congrats, hold on.
All right, let's go to Sergio in Downey. He's up next. He's on line three. Sergio, listen up. Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman are doing a Steven Spielberg-directed movie. You just have to name it. Here we go.
I don't think you're giving us our due credit. Our scientists have done things nobody's ever done before.
Yeah, your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could that they didn't stop to think if they should.
Condors. Condors are on the verge of extinction.
No.
If I was to create a flock of condors on this island, you wouldn't have anything to say.
No, hold on. This isn't some species that was obliterated by deforestation or the building of a dam.
Cut!
Jurassic Park.
Yeah! A.K.A. Not Enough Anus.
All right, we're on a roll here. Let's see how Joshua does in Bellflower. He's up next on line four. Joshua, good luck. Here's your scene.
All right, good morning.
Good morning.
And go. Action.
It was just the two of us, Dad. It was a lonely way to grow up for you, too. If you had been an ordinary average father like the other guy's dad, you'd understood that.
Actually, I was a wonderful father.
When?
Did I ever tell you to eat up, go to bed, wash your ears, do your homework? No. I respected your privacy, and I thought you were self-reliant.
What you taught me was that I was less important to you than people who had been dead for 500 years in another country, and I learned it so well that we've hardly spoken for 20 years.
You left just when you were becoming interesting.
End cut.
I want to see your version of that movie.
You Thank know? You, yeah. He was heartbroken.
What do you think, Joshua?
I think it's Indiana Jones.
And?
And
the Last
Crusade?
Yeah! Oh, nice. Oh. Ooh, that was tough. We were right on the verge there.
We wanted to give it to you, Joshua. Thank you, sir. Reseda up next. Jose is our caller. Hi, Jose. Listen up. Here's your scene.
Did you explain school to him?
How do you explain school to higher intelligence?
Maybe he's not that smart. Maybe he's like a worker bee, only knows how to push buttons or something.
Oh, he is too smart.
Okay. I just hope we don't wake up on Mars or something, surrounded by millions of little squashy guys.
I do. And cut. Last line I added.
Yeah, that was Natalie. I'm glad you're rewriting the script, because it wasn't well done the first time around. All right, Jose, what do you think? What Spielberg-directed movie is that? A lot of hints in that patch of dialogue right there.
Did everything but name it.
Yes. Wake up on Mars.
Higher intelligence.
Hey, he stumbled into it. Well done.
Spoon-fed you that one, Jose.
I did not have much confidence in Jose, I must be honest. All right, we got time for one more, and it's going to be Johnny and Elisa Viejo up next. Hey, Johnny, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. Good luck.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Johnny, here's your scene.
I could have got more out. I could have got more. I don't know. If I just, I could have got more.
There are 1,100 people who are alive because of you. Look at them.
If I'd made more money, I threw so much away. You have no idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough!
Well, you could have done with the pin. The pin probably could have helped a lot.
Stop ad-libbing.
And cut.
Again, ad-libbing, but you get the gist of it. What do you think there, Johnny?
Oh, man, I have no idea, but that was spot-on acting.
Well, the man who could have got more out
Try
was...
guessing.
Did he say it?
I'm going to say...
Black and white. Black Rambo. And white.
Rambo.
Spielberg's Rambo.
He made the best one. Yeah, let's be honest.
What was that?
It was Schindler's List.
Oh, goodness.
Could've got more out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
What a charming, happy loser he is.
Yeah, he really was.
And somebody not very sensitive to history whatsoever. What movie? Schindler who?
That was Jurassic World. Hey, thanks for playing Spielberg Theater.
That was Spielberg Theater. Thank you for attending. Cheerio, pip-pip, hey what, all that?
Jeremy Piven joins us just after 8 o'clock this morning, one of the stars of the new Entourage film in theaters everywhere. By the way, Kevin Smith, are you the only Hollywood celebrity who never guest starred on Entourage, or did you hit an episode or two up?
No, my name made it on.
They took some shots.
Yeah,
there.
There was a guy who wrote on that show, whose name escapes me, but he... took some shots at me. There were a few times they were made Kevin Smith jokes, including there was a sequel to Aquaman that they were going to make in the show. Like, remember the boy made
Vince
Aquaman?
Vince was going to be an Aquaman, yeah.
Oh, you know his name. Geek Test, you failed. That's right, right? I don't know their names. I just know he's one of the boys,
you know, the
and he's the boy.
Boy.
So they made an Aquaman, and then they were studio wanted to make an Aquaman too. Right. And at one point they were like, well, who's going to do it? And they were like, Kevin. They were like, Kevin, the guy that wrote Seven? And they're like, no, Kevin Smith. And they were all like, damn. like they were all depressed that Kevin Smith was writing. So for the next like few weeks, like I didn't watch a show, but people come up to me and they'd be like, "Oh my god, it's amazing! You're going to direct Aquaman 2, or write Aquaman 2." And like this went on for so long where I had to start going like, "Do you guys remember Aquaman 1? That didn't happen. So how could this be possible?"
That's awesome.
Crossing the line between fact and fiction.
Mm. All right. Well, Kevin Smith is here. He's at the Hollywood Improv tonight with Ralph Garman for Hollywood Babylon. Tickets available at csmod.com or improv.com. Time now, though, for a showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up, guys?
Speaking of Piven, this was kind of cool. Apparently last Wednesday, he showed up at a theater. I believe it was over at the Grove, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right.
Anyway, he steps up and he bought popcorn for the entire audience. Splurged on 200 bags of popcorn and gave it out to everybody. Took a bunch of selfies with some fans who were there to see Entourage and made a lot of people happy.
Right so, on, man.
Something for that.
Totally. One for them, less for him. You know what I'm saying?
That's
he
right.
could have stayed home, but instead he gave it up for the fans.
That's right.
Now 10 years! Whenever I hear Piven, that's all I think about. Yes. Him from Gross Point Blank. 10 years! Man, 10 years!
You know, I worked with Jeremy and Two for the Money with that Al Pacino movie.
That's right. That's
He's
right.
Doing that.
I can't believe you don't have a Piven impression at this point.
I really
worked
don't.
Worked with
him. No. You
should hug it out.
I should hug it out. Stephen Colbert is taking over for Letterman on The Late Show. Tuesday, September 8th, it has been announced, will be his first show. Yesterday, he announced his band leader, a New Orleans music legend, educator, humanitarian, John Batiste, is going to be his band leader, which I thought was an interesting choice.
How do you think he's going to fare against the other two?
Colbert?
Yeah.
I think he'll be fine.
Buddy of mine said that he thinks he's going to beat the other two. I was like, really?
And really?
I said, yeah, he's been playing a character all these years. This is the first time you're actually going to kind of meet the real Stephen Colbert. But they said that he's like an insanely wonderful, nice guy that's beloved by everybody.
And he's also brilliantly funny.
Yes,
and
that's the other thing. Sharp as a tack, as they say.
Sam Smith can speak again. The singer posted the happy news on Instagram. He had blown out his vocal cords. He had to have surgery on them, and apparently now he can sing again, so everyone can relax, and he'll be back on the road in July.
My cousin.
If you're into that kind of thing. That's right. I forgot he was your cousin.
Smith. That's not true, folks.
Yeah, don't get that started.
We just share a name, that's all.
And Degrassi,
it's such an unusual name. You have to be related to
something. It's true. I'm like, Smith. Right? Oh, my Lord.
And Degrassi, The Next Generation has been canceled. No more seasons of Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Apparently, on? It's going to be.
Teen Nick.
There you go.
Apparently,
it's just canceled here, folks. They're going to find another American broadcaster and keep going with the show. You could keep going with that show forever. 100 years from now, they could be robot children going to school because schools every year they get new kids in, new kids out.
It's like one of those format. British soap operas that just goes on and on and on because they just cycle in new people all the time.
I was smart in early in my career, instead of stupid convenience store movies, I would have set something in a school where I could flip the cast every 4 years, do something new. Man.
What are you thinking?
And then still do the same thing because that's what I've been trying to do my whole career. Clerks
and
over
they,
and over
and
again.
They just won't let you.
Yoga hosers, girl clerks. See what I'm saying?
Canadian girl clerks. And if you're looking at going to Disneyland on June the 15th, you may want to rethink your plans. Sources are saying the Kardashian family is reportedly renting out the entire Magic Kingdom.
No.
For Northwest's second birthday party on June the 15th.
How much does that cost?
The park will be closed to the average person. Only the elite will be allowed through the gates to enjoy the second birthday of Northwest.
Spellbinding. That has to, in order to close the park, in my understanding, you would have to pay for their operating expenses for the day, which includes all the staff, including all the sales, which means
that's
popcorn, soda, all the
concessions and toys,
merchandise. So if you're writing a check, which, you know, look,
whatever
these cats got
a
lot of money.
Whatever Disney makes in a day, that's what you're paying.
And put a number on that.
It's got to be $20,000-$30,000.
Right? What? Oh, my heart stopped. I'm like, you unrealistic.
I think they have to make well over $20,000 a day.
I think that's safe to say. You're absolutely right, Ralph. What do you really think?
I can't even. I gotta
imagine
brain doesn't
they
work
make
with those kind of numbers.
$10 million a day minimum?
Got it,
right?
I don't know.
Idea.
But
I mean,
I would
peak
think
season.
You would.
That's right. June is like everybody's off from school. Could you imagine?
Right.
You're a kid. You're like, my whole school year, I've been working so hard.
Driving an RV from Iowa.
I got A's. My parents told me if I just buckle down, they'll take me to Disney. And we're there. And we're, what? Kardashian who? June 5th, what? Oh, this is.
You're punching Wally World right
now. No, I think you have to
believe there was a movie about this
once.
This is why
he owns this, right?
You have to do more than reimburse Disneyland for whatever they're going to lose. I think they'd put a huge premium on that to make
I hope
up
so.
The
I hope they ask them for all their money. I hope the Kardashian West leave with their pockets pulled out like those hobos in a cartoon showing they don't have a penny left.
If that's part of the deal, I want in. I want to see that.
Man.
That's the photo op I want.
Me too.
Just Mickey Mouse sad, behind sad, him waving.
Sad Kanye on the most.
Just with that scowl on his face.
That's true. Aside from the, I bet you it's more than the operating cost, because it's like you're going to, not only is the operating cost, you're going to tick off a bunch of people.
That's right.
Who just show up.
Right. Yeah,
and you're
going to
tick off a bunch
you
of people.
Pay for that
as well. Yeah. So there's a premium on top. That's got to be, let's ballpark it. I bet you they asked $50 million.
I was going to go 70.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
dude. Think about it. And also, it's
and
like
an organ, and you have to give up some organ.
Well, here's the other thing: you know that they're like, "Well, we got to shoot it as well," so they're going to shoot their TV show there.
Oh yeah.
There's right. no. Are you kidding me? You think any of these people do anything in private?
It doesn't happen. If it doesn't happen on camera.
Oh
right?
My lord! If they're renting out Disney World, you better believe they're going to roll cameras, and that will probably be the make or break whether Disneyland or World is land.
Disneyland, yeah.
Whether Disneyland does it or not is whether or not they want to be on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which is a free commercial for them. But the way I understand that the Disney operation is doing quite well. They
what?
Don't need much help. Yeah.
Wow.
They make at least $20,000 a day.
Least,
at that
I'm at least. That's my bottom number.
I just think the bad PR too.
That's
I don't
the
think
other
they're
going
to do it.
Tack on another 30.
I
for
say
that.
They're not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going on record. Disney says no.
Well, I'm with you.
By all accounts, it's it is still being negotiated. So I guess there's a chance where they could back out.
But. Yeah, I think the last negotiation is when they're like, and finally, here's the price, and they pull that back, and they're like, that's a lot of zeros. They're like, well. Ironic, isn't it? Because we're letting a lot of zeros into our park.
That's right.
That conversation didn't happen. I just made that up.
Today's celebrity
writer. Not a good one, right, ladies and gentlemen, but a writer nonetheless.
That's a first draft.
Thank
That's
you.
What we
yeah, yeah.
First
It'll
draft.
Get better. Way better.
There's still room to polish. Today's celebrity birthdays. Pete Wentz of Fall Out Boy. He's 36 years old today. Nick Kroll celebrates his 37th birthday. Peanut, the bassist of 311, is 41. Mark Wahlberg. He's 44 years old today. We have a Transformer.
He's 44?
Yeah.
I'm 44.
Wow.
That's what 44 can look like?
Yep.
I'm an idiot.
I'm
this really
is what 44 in. Looks like, really.
Truly. He does.
He's
not real 44.
He's the freak. You're
yeah,
the real 44.
Good point. He's the Marilyn. I'm like Grandpa or Herman. Bunch of kids are like, what is he talking about? Munsters, kids. Check it out.
Ron Livingston's 48. Jeff Garland's 53 years old today. But the reason we celebrate the day, of course, has been saxophonist Kenny G's birthday. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, I'm getting an HJ. This takes me right back to high school. Slap on little Kenny G and the rubber glove comes out.
Sadly, it was a prostate check, but still, any rubber glove in a storm. That's
I'm
what we
13
used to say.
And I'm getting my prostate check. This is horrible. At least Kenny G's playing. And he poured a storm.
Now Kevin has to bring a tape of Kenny G to the proctologist now in order to get in the mood. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's a Friday morning. A lot of people thought would never get here because the Entourage movie is finally in theaters. How many seasons, Ali, did Entourage run? Wasn't it like six or five?
I do not have that information. If only
27?
We had someone from the show to ask.
Seems like they made it for a long time, and it's been gone just long enough for us to miss it, and it is back in theaters everywhere today. And, of course, Ari Gold is everyone's favorite character, the multiple Emmy Award-winning performance by Jeremy Piven, now up on the big screen. And he joins us on the phone right now, back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Jeremy, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you, man?
Doing fine. I saw you on the TMZ the other day, and you were talking, we'll talk about the popcorn thing, but you were talking about how your last chance to have your feet on American soil, you were hitting the road. Did you actually fly to England since then? Is that where I'm speaking to you from?
No. I'm going to be flying in the morning, and we shoot from April through October. I leave U.S. soil, so I miss all my American sports, and I love it over there, and the show is great. And gets better every year. It's an amazing opportunity. I miss my American sports. I'm not going to lie to you. And to watch, for instance, the Manny Pacquiao fight at 1 million o'clock is awkward.
Well, I was thinking how awkward this timing is that you, a lifelong Chicago sports fan, have the freaking Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup final. And how do you even watch that in England? Like, do you have some sort of a hookup where you can stream the games or something?
You know, I try to do it, but I'm a caveman, and it's always a little weird, you know, because, let's say my call is at 6:50 and the game is on at 4:20, you know, so you can do the math on it. It gets a little weird.
Yeah, exactly. You got to be feeling good after game one, though. I mean, Tampa Bay's a really good team, but don't the Blackhawks seem like they do every year? It seems like are peaking at the right time.
They're just so good. It's incredible, and they get after it, and they're consistent, and guys like Patrick Kane are so quick, and he handles the puck so well that it's tough to probably chase that guy, you know, for three. Yeah, it's rough.
You know, you mentioned you're going to England to film this Mr. Selfridge show, and I'm wondering, with all the press that you've been doing for the Entourage movie, how many guys like me do you run into who have seen every episode of Entourage and also every episode of Mr. Selfridge? Is there much crossover between those two audiences?
There are. You know, it's funny. Like, overseas, they don't necessarily – they call me Mr. Selfridge, and they approach me as if I'm a turn-of-the-century gentleman, and I have to say that I don't mind it. Because, you know, to have someone bark, you know, I'm an a-hole because of you, and smack you on the back as you're at a urinal because they think you're already gold here is different. It's a different type of experience.
You've got to be pretty ready to let go of him, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, after we did 8 seasons, and then I went right into Mr. Selfridge, and I hadn't, you know, heard the show or seen the show, and just kind of immersed myself in the world of Harry Selfridge. And then when the call came to do this, it was really fun because I had been in such another world that it was nice to kind of revisit Ari Gold. And I think to play him better, just because I'd been doing something completely different, working, you know, with these actors who have, you know, have gone through it, or these brilliant stage actors. And I'm having the time of my life over there. And so we did hit the ground running with Entourage, and I do think it is the best version of the show. And that's not just saying that. I feel I've never had such response to any movie I've done. People are just loving it.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this. You know, Hollywood has been portrayed so many times in movies and on TV shows over the years, and your version is kind of a hyperactive version of it where everybody is at 10, it seems like. And I'm just wondering, like, around the world, are people aspirational for the lifestyle and the money and the celebrity and the fame? I mean, are they living through these characters? Is that why Entourage is connected with so many people around the world, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. It obviously is a male fantasy, but there are guys, movie stars, who live on that level and beyond. There are agents who are incredibly reactive and who are sharks like that, to a lesser and greater extent. So everything that we're portraying, believe it or not, is authentic. It happens. And I think overseas, especially like in London, you know, it's very uncouth to be self-celebratory and to have an entourage and draw attention to yourself. So for them, it's so exotic to see this world portrayed.
Yeah, that's interesting. And everybody's back, by the way. Eric is back, and Vincent, and Johnny Drama, and Turtle, and of course, Ari Gold is back. And you have a bunch of new people in the movie, too. I mean, Billy Bob Thornton and Haley Joel Osment as the 1-2 father-son producers. It sounds like brilliant casting. How much fun are those guys?
It was incredible. I mean, because, you know, Ari Gold was one of these guys who kind of, when he walks into a room, he takes all the oxygen, and there's so many fireworks, but it's been generated by him. And now he's the head of a studio, and the reality is his first order of business is to take care of his boy Vinny Chase and get him the lead in the movie, and Vince wants to direct. They all go over budget, and now he's got to go hat in hand to Billy Bob Thornton, who's a Texas oil billionaire, and the guy never watches movies and doesn't care. But suddenly he's interested because his, you know, movie star client has gone, you know, $15 million over. Billy Bob is so brilliant and has had so much weight as an actor that to play opposite him and to play Ari Gold, where he has to sit on his hands and hold it together and be subservient to someone of higher status, was so much fun to play. And I think then gave it so many more dimensions. And Haley Joel just crushes it as well. I mean, they're just both great at what they did, and we had a blast.
It sounds like it's so much fun. Man, you are just living the dream right now, Jeremy Piven. I mean, you're on two huge franchises that couldn't be more different from one another and giving you a chance to live in two great countries kind of at the same time. I mean, it just didn't get any better than that.
Well, the only thing we need is an NFL team to be stationed in London.
It's in the works. Then,
and that's got to happen, right?
It's supposed to. It's on the track. That's what NFL wants.
They're certainly pushing for it. That's for sure. They're making those teams with guns to their heads go over there and play a game every season, it seems like.
Well, I want in. And what about the LA Golds?
I like
Boom.
It. I like
Boom.
It.
Hey, real quick, when we brought you on, we mentioned the popcorn thing. And for folks who didn't hear, what an incredibly generous gesture you did the other day. Is it the Grove Theater, I guess it was? You treated an entire audience of fans there to see the Entourage movie to the popcorn. And the looks on their faces, we saw it at TMZ.com, when they realized that you were in the theater was just priceless. That must have been so much fun to get that close to the fans.
Well, it really is. I mean, I grew up on the stage, so you get to look in their eyes and have that interaction and you know, you have this distance with film where they're in a dark theater and you don't get to interact with them. So, listen, it's my last day here on U.S. soil, and I wanted to connect with people, and I thought it would be fun to buy them all popcorn, and it worked out really well. It was a blast.
It really did. The movie's already doing big business, and people are loving it, and it's opening up everywhere in theaters all over the Southland. Go see Entourage this week, and it'll be a great fun to kick off your summer. Jeremy, you know we always love having you on the program, man. Enjoy your time in England, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon, sir. Thank you.
You guys, listen, do me a favor. Enjoy your summer here, and send me a picture of the sun in England, will you?
Absolutely.
It's a deal. Thanks, Jeremy. Bye-bye.
All right, take care, you guys.
Well, I've got a question, and don't take this the wrong way, but why are you bad?
Wow. All right. Are we changing the segment, or are we still going to do the
question
bomb things?
Is, why are you bad? Because you're a grown-ass woman with free will, yet you're telling me you've never seen a single James Bond movie in your life, not one?
That's kind of crazy.
It's kind of crazy.
I mentioned it the other day. I've just been really busy.
No, you haven't.
No.
Live in a car. And is that why? Because there's no drive-ins anymore, so you can't go park and watch a Bond movie. And you've seen so many bad films in your life too, which is stunning to me.
The Holiday again was
certainly
a great
seen
film.
The Holiday enough times.
A great film.
Listen, Allie, the James Bond franchise. Please correct me if I'm wrong, Ralph. One of the longest running and maybe the most financially successful franchise in movie history.
I believe that is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the 24th movie is coming out later this year, Spectre?
Maybe 23, but it's up there, yeah.
Some there, yeah. So there's just, I mean, that you have to actively be deciding, I don't want to see a James Bond movie, because they come out and they're great, and they're big box office hits, and they have big stars in them, and there's no reason why you would stay away from them. So what up, girl?
The guys are dreamy.
Yeah.
They're all handsome, and they wear tuxedos.
What's your
charming
damage?
I have no idea why. It doesn't interest me in the least.
That's insane.
I guess it is to you.
Not to you, to me, to anyone. How is it not interesting in the sense that, do you like action films at all? Do you enjoy action films?
Sure.
Well, like, did you see the Bourne movies, for instance?
Well, yeah.
Well, come on!
If you saw the Bourne movies, then why wouldn't you see the Bond movies?
Is Matt Damon in any of the Bond movies?
No, but
Daniel Craig is. What's wrong with Daniel Craig?
Or Sean Connery, or Roger Moore, or Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, those are all great men.
Oh, geez, Allie.
Well, we started talking about James Bond because Ralph had a story in the Showbiz Beat that it is looking like, it has not been officially confirmed, but it is looking like for the first time in the storied Bond franchise history, the same musical artist will be asked to perform the James Bond theme song for two films in a row. Of course, we're talking about Adele, who's clearly one of the biggest stars in the world, and she, you know, knocked it out of the park with the theme for the last movie. Give me a little bit of that Skyfall. People know what we're talking about.
Let the sky fall. Oh.
Captures everything we love about James Bond themes. It's dramatic.
Yeah, it's a real throwback. It's like an old school
beautiful
Bond
song.
Theme.
Yeah. Huge number one record, won an Oscar. I mean, she's a great choice to do it. So I asked Ralph at the time he brought this up. Yeah, everybody loves Adele. Skyfall is a great theme, one of the best. But there's really only one best James Bond theme of all time.
Right, and we agreed.
And I said to Ralph, that's Paul
Goldfinger.
McCartney's Live and Let Die. Right. So here's a little of the best James Bond theme of all time.
If this ever-changing world in which we live in
makes you give in a cry. To live and let die.
It's a great song. Don't get me
no
wrong.
No idea it was one of the theme songs.
You didn't know that was
a great
song?
Song.
You know, it's funny.
Well, when you got to the movie, maybe you'd have noticed.
You know, when you listen to McCartney now and you make fun of how bad his lyrics are and stuff, and you start to listen to some of his stuff from the 70s, you see a lot of the precursor of what we got now with, like, Free Meat Monday and stuff with some of his lyrics. Like that song, for example. When the world makes you give in and cry, stop it. You're just desperate for a rhyme with die. Desperate.
But the ba-da-da...
No, it's great. George Martin produced that and did a great job with the brass and everything. Yes, I agree. It's a good song. It's just not the best James Bond theme of all time.
All right. Here's a little piece of your choice, and then we're going to take your calls here on the Kevin DeBean Show at 1-800-520-1067. I don't know if we're going to come to any kind of conclusion here or what, but here's what Ralph says is the best Bond theme of all time from one of the first by the great Dame Shirley Bassey.
Goldfinger. He's the man.
Touch. Look, it's very Bondy. There's no question.
You
about
hear that song, it is Bond. Boom. Bond.
It's top five?
It's one. That's why it's,
I think
top,
it's
five,
top five.
Because one is part
one,
of five.
But it is top five.
Although I haven't seen the movies, am I allowed to have a favorite?
Of course. Sure, you
are. Of course
are.
You are.
Okay.
You can be wrong if you want.
Let me go to George real quick first in Burbank, though, at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to take your calls. What is your vote for the best James Bond theme of all time? There's a lot of them to choose from. George, we're going to give you the first vote for a listener. What's your pick?
It's got to be A View to a Kill.
Same, right, same, same.
Lane, how is that Lane?
No, I'm saying same with the S.
Allie's saying same, same, same.
Right, I apologize.
Same is better than Lane. Let me hear some of that, please, Chip.
Until we dance into the fire.
That's just pure awesomeness right there.
That is some 80s. That's a lot of Bond, 80s Bond right there.
Yep. Same. And another big number one hit record, too, from the Bond franchise. Thank you, George. We appreciate the call. You know, it's funny. You mentioned George Martin. Is he the one who does he do the, or is it David Martin who does the production on these, right?
George Martin did the McCartney one. He of course, was a producer for the Beatles, and he also produced The Live and Let Die. So,
They have a lot of similarities in that those horn stabs that kind of go through a bunch of the themes that kind of tie them all together, even though they're from wildly different artists over a across many decades, which is so brilliant that they do that.
Originally, James Barry was the guy who did the original James Bond theme, which was used in every film, I think, after Dr. No. I think they started implementing that. It was Monty Strange did the...
you may be going too deep for me now.
But the... Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-da. Do you have that in there, Chip?
I don't think we do. We'll dig it up for you.
Right, anyway, so that was James Barry.
520-1067. McCartney is number one, but what's the number two best Bond theme of all time? We'll take your calls when we return right after this on K-Rock. Where's the Walk the Moon James Bond theme? Am I right?
Come on.
That's what we need. Hey, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show here on a Friday morning. We're talking about the greatest James Bond themes of all time. Adele is rumored to be doing her second. By the way, not the first artist to do two, but as we mentioned a moment ago, she would be the first artist to do two back-to-back. Yeah. That's what makes Adele's distinction. No, it's not right. Skyfall was one of the greats. I got to be honest about that. Got to be honest.
And talking about the other artist who did Bond theme, Shirley Bassey. Dame Shirley Bassey did Goldfinger initially, which was a huge hit, so they asked her back a couple of films later to do Diamonds Are Forever. Boy, that's another great one. Do you have that little that Chip? I love that song.
Diamonds are forever sparkling around my little finger. Unlike men, the diamonds linger.
Right, ladies, who's with me?
Men are mere mortals.
Yeah, unlike men, diamonds linger. That's why diamonds are better than men. Stupid men.
She was kind of like Amy Winehouse before there was an Amy Winehouse.
You're so right. When you hear her voice, it is very Amy Winehouse.
Very similar sound. All right, let's take a couple of calls here. What's your vote for the best Bond theme of all time? There's no franchise that comes close to having more great songs come out. I want to start with Jeff and Laverne, not only because he has picked maybe perhaps the worst Bond theme of all time, but he picked the one that I never in a million years would have thought would have come out of Kevin Smith's mouth. Before he left, we said, hey, Smith, what's your favorite Bond theme? And this is the one he said, which shocked me, by the way. I mean, I know he's a little girl on the inside, but it still shocked me. All right, Jeff, what's your choice and tell me why you picked it?
First, I got two. And
all right.
Real quick,
Ralph, we made a bet a few years ago that I would cover up my Rodney Bingenheimer tattoo, and I still have it.
Oh, my goodness. Got it. All right, well, I owe you then whatever we wagered.
It was a friendly bet.
Okay.
My first one is Duran Duran, View to a Kill.
Right, we said that already.
Covered, yes. Great song.
The second one is Nobody Does It Better from Carly Simon.
Oh, Spy Who Loved Me.
Let's hear some of that.
Nobody does it quite the way you do.
Why'd you have to be so good? Oh, look, if I could, I've had a dime every time a woman said those lyrics to me. I'm a rich, rich man.
You would have a dime.
How again, dare you?
Again, no idea that was from a Bond film.
Really?
I love that song.
From
yeah.
The Spy Who Loved Me. Look, it's an okay song.
It's great.
If you're trying to fall asleep, maybe, I guess. But it doesn't have the energy and the excitement.
It's got
and the
sex,
thrill.
Though. It's got sex. Like, you know,
the
does it
Bond
better.
Movie,
you do me. It's got that going
Thank
for
you,
it.
Ralph.
You're welcome, Jeff.
Thank you.
You wouldn't be saying that if you saw the moves he's doing as he's saying it.
I want to see this.
Put the thumb away.
Why you gotta be so good?
All right. Let's go to Brian. He's in Valencia. He's on line six. This one's in, it's gotta be in the top five of all time at a minimum. Brian, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. What's your vote?
My vote's for You Only Live Twice.
Oh, You Only Live Twice. And how come? What do you love about it?
I love the sound of it. I love the, I don't know, there's that xylophone or something going on in there that is just really sultry and
yeah.
It just sounds...
Can't beat a good xylophone.
Sort of.
A sultry xylophone. I need to hear this song. Do we have it?
You only live twice.
Is that a kazoo? What's happening?
What is that instrument, Ralph? Your musical.
I think it's a synth. I think it's some sort of synthesizer.
Really? From 1967?
Yeah.
They had a synth going?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. You Only Live Twice.
It was
great
Nancy
choice.
Sinatra who sang that.
Huh.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the call. All right. Let's
That's
go
a sleepy
to...
song. That puts me to sleep, that one.
Here's one that doesn't. Let's go to Matt Nazusa. He's up next on line five. This is one of the few, there have been a couple of K-Rock James Bond themes,
yeah.
But this is one of them. Hey, Matt, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, guys. Is it Front Row Friday?
Say it again?
Is it Front Row Friday?
Front Row Friday? Yes, it is Front Row Friday.
Thank you for bringing that back. All right, what's your favorite 007 theme?
Chris Cornell's You Know My Name from Casino Royale does not give enough play. It's an awesome song.
I agree with you. It does not give enough play. Let's hear some of the great Chris Cornell here.
That
what do you
a
think
cool
the problem
Bond
was
scene.
There, Ralph? Was it too modern? Was that the problem with that one?
Yeah, maybe a little too rock, a little too too alt for the average moviegoer. But
great choice, though, Mac, and congratulations! You've won Front Row Friday tickets. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Paul El Segundo. He's on line one. He's got another kind of lost classic, one that doesn't immediately spring to mind when you think James Bond themes. Paul, welcome to the show. What's your pick?
Hey guys, I like the Jack White Alicia Keys duet that was for Quantum of Solace. I think it was called like Another Way to Die.
Another Way to Die is the song. My problem with that is it always seemed like they were singing different songs from one another. Listen to this clip and see if it sounds like that to you. Maybe not in that clip it doesn't, but it does have some weird parts in it. That was not a successful Bond theme, that's for sure.
It was not, but I liked it.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
Not top All five right. material. I'm sorry, Paul. Not top five.
I don't think
five.
So either. Let's go to Ron, Studio City. He's up next on line eight. I think this is one that's going to divide the room a little bit. Hey, Ron.
How you doing? You hear me?
Yeah, Ron. Hit me with your choice.
Well, it's For Your Eyes Only by Sheena Easton.
Oh,
really
I love that song.
Sexy and powerful.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
And fun. You guys got to admit it now.
And the video. Remember the video? That's just that close-up of her with those big, beautiful eyes just being all hot.
How much time are Ralph and you and Allie spending listening to The Coast? What's with all these songs?
Come on, it's a classic.
It's 70 degrees along the coast. Yeah.
The coast. All right,
couldn't
let's
get
hear
it
some
out.
Sheena Easton or words I've never said on K-Rock before.
I felt she was thinking about her nether regions. It's only for you to look at right here. Look at this right here. Look at that. Look at it. Just you.
Sounds like an all skate to me. All right, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Look, we're almost out of time here. We've decided that Paul McCartney's number one.
No,
we didn't
decide that.
Dean.
How about Garbage's
song? Oh yeah, Garbage. We love Garbage.
We love Garbage. I love Garbage, and I love this. It was not a great Bond movie, but a great Bond theme. The World Is Not Enough by Garbage.
The world is not.
Very Bond.
That's
very
so Bond.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Good tune.
All right, we're out of time. Can we at least agree that Louis Armstrong or Madonna has the worst James Bond theme of all time?
I think Madonna wins.
Maybe Madonna. Yeah. All right. Thanks for the calls, you guys. By the way, speaking of the Incubus, playing Deftones and Incubus together August 28th at the Forum, August 29th at Irvine Meadows, and our friend Nicole Anderson from Fontana just chose Irvine Meadows.
Hmm.
So that's the show she is going to, and she'll be around listening, I hope, on Monday morning when we do the grand prize drawing to find out who gets to meet and greet the bands and introduce the bands on stage with a K-Rock DJ. Your chance to win coming up. Details at krock.com.
I know.
All right, Adam Carolla right after 9. His former roommate Ralph Garman is here now with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I know this is sort of self-evident. You don't really need to talk about it, but it just went through my mind as you were mentioning that show, is that the Irvine Amphitheater is just a great place. I had such a good time at the most recent Weenie Roast there. It's a great venue, and they just do it right, and it's just a great place to hear music, and acoustically for an outdoor facility are just great. The sound is great. I just really enjoy that venue. So I think she chose wisely, I guess is what I'm saying.
You had such a good time because it was overcast and cool.
There was that, too. It was the first Weenie Roast where I didn't go home in a body bag from a heat stroke. Don't forget, Sunday, by the way, just going to give you the heads up, it is Broadway's biggest night. It is the Tony Awards. So don't forget to get your Tony Award watching party set up and get your Tony Award pool going so you can vote on the winners, and good luck, everybody. Here's just me hoping Wolf Hall Parts 1 and 2 pick up Best Play. Why is this still on television? Why is the Tony Awards still on television as if anyone gives a rat's patootie?
I can't answer that question. I mean, I know it is a big deal to a lot of people, but...
It is to the people in the legitimate theater world, and I understand that, and more power to them. And listen, I'm a fan of Broadway. I like legitimate theater. I enjoy
it. When you go to New York, you always see a play.
Always. Yeah. If I'm in New York, I see at least one play. So I appreciate the importance of the theater, and I think these people have a right to congratulate the people who have excellence in that field. But it's not a TV show.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, it wouldn't still be on the air year after year after year if it didn't draw some ratings.
And
I
know they've done everything
I know they do everything they can to punch it up with a lot of Hollywood stars making appearances as well.
Well, there are more Hollywood stars in plays than than never before. But
true.
Still, the majority, it's not like the Oscars. People say, well, the Oscars, they're on TV. It's because a ton of people can go and see the product.
Right.
But if you are watching the Tonys, do you have a vested interest between the curious incident of the dog in the nighttime, Disgraced, Hand to God, or Wolf Hall Parts 1 and 2 to see who wins Best Play?
Those are just words that you've put
that's
together.
That's what I'm saying.
And
possibly care.
Here's the thing. I will watch the opening number because I think it was 3 years ago when Neil Patrick Harris did his first big one.
Always a great host.
It was one of the best openings I've ever seen of any award show ever in my life.
Right. Wasn't it Broadway's Not Just for Gays anymore
or
something?
Yes.
That was the number. It was very funny. But after that...
Nah, I drop off.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But there are some big stars who are nominated for stuff, like Bradley Cooper for his work in The Elephant Man, and Bill Nighy for Skylight, which apparently is a great play. Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men, she's nominated for Best Performance in Actress. Helen Mirren, Carrie Mulligan.
Ooh.
Ken Watanabe. Kristen Chenoweth, of course, a perennial nominee at the Tonys.
You're just saying a lot of great actors, but is it a TV show?
Well, I'm just saying because you can't possibly have a vested interest in who wins. That's part of the fun of an award show, is waiting to see if your favorite or the one that you want to see wins actually goes home with that statue.
Sure.
It's almost like a sporting event. And if you don't know any of the work, how can you have any sort of even a passing interest in who wins? I'm just saying, stop it.
That's a legitimate question.
Stop it. Put on more episodes of The Briefcase, CBS, and less Tony Awards. Let's see more poor people fighting each other. That's what I want. Put them in a cage. Why don't we just start poor fighting?
Just a cage match between two poor families, and the winner gets a box of 20s. What do you say, America? Just a big box of 20s.
We did track somebody down from the briefcase, Ralph. They will be joining us on Tuesday morning show. So you can suggest the formation of the new Poor FC League if you want. Poor FC.
Justin Bieber was back in his hometown yesterday via video conference to plead guilty.
Guilty?
Yeah.
To what? What this time?
To a felony count of douchebaggery. No, he was hooked up in a courtroom in Stratford, Ontario to face charges about the dust-up that he had there last August after he drove his ATV into a minivan full of paparazzi.
Why did he not have to be there in person like every other defendant does?
He's swag, yo.
Oh, he is swag, yo. I forgot.
Guilty plea means that the case will be discharged completely. How does that work?
Wait, what?
I don't understand the Canadian legal system.
I love Canada. I'm moving there because apparently, like, yep, I did. They go, all right, then, don't do it again, eh? And then you're allowed to walk out of the courtroom.
We just wanted to hear you admit it.
That's
okay,
right.
Have a nice day,
as long as you told the truth, that's the most important thing. I think we've all learned a lesson, eh? What the F?
This is like when your mom says, it's not what you did, honey. It's that you lied about
it. Right. You can come to us with anything. Just don't lie.
So Canada's mad. Not mad. They're just disappointed.
That's right.
It's essentially their legal system. I like it.
That bears further investigation, Ralph.
Well, apparently the deal they made was if he pled guilty, the case would be discharged. He wouldn't have to go through a trial for a count of dangerous driving. He just has to pay a fine. For a lesser charge of reckless driving, which amounts to $750.
So a plea deal, basically.
Is that Canadian dollars or American? Because I don't know.
They're about the same now.
I don't know if he can afford it. Is it loonies or is it dollars, eh? So, once again, the Biebs skates.
He skates. Hey, do you know, is he free and clear of all of his legal issues now? Has everything else been either worked through or dismissed? He's still got something else?
They're still working on the one where he punched the limo driver because the limo driver wouldn't let him play with the radio. Okay. That's still pending. Let me see.
So he can still get the death penalty? We're hoping.
I think that window has closed. If he didn't get the death penalty for throwing eggs at a guy's house, what does the guy have to do? It's like Al Capone. You're trying to get him on tax charges now when really he's murdered all those people.
Yeah.
He egged, for God's sakes. He's an egger, and he just walks around being a free egger.
That's
and
right.
And no one seems to care.
We have an egger. Chet Hayes on me here, by the way.
We have an egger in our society, and no one cares.
That's right, man.
I hate the eggers. Stupid eggers. Today's celebrity birthdays. Pete Wentz. He's from Fall Out Boy. He plays the bass. He's 36 years old today. Actor Nick Kroll. 37 years old, of course, at the Nick Kroll Show there on Comedy Central. Very funny. Bobby Bottle Service. Remember Bobby?
So good.
Peanut from 311, 41 years old. Mark Wahlberg celebrates his 44th birthday. Ron Livingston from Office Space and other successful projects.
Boardwalk Empire.
Boardwalk Empire, that's right. 48 years old. Jeff Garland. We love Jeff. Jeff, do you love us? Jeff, do you love us? Hey, Jeff, do you love us? Jeff? Hey, Jeff, do you love...
No!
Oh, okay. He's 53 years old. Timing. Comedy is timing. And saxophonist Kenny G turns 59 years old today. Just give me a little sweet, sweet Kenny G. Oh, this makes me want to draw a hot bubble bath, light some candles, throw some rose petals in there, and just have someone to hold my head under the water until I'm dead.
Do you want me to share my fun Kenny G fact with you again on the air?
If it involves an airport.
Kenny G!
Yes?
No, Kenny G has the best-selling Christmas album of all time. That's all.
Not a story.
That's sort of a story. We're talking about a musical artist who has the best-selling Christmas album of all time.
Jeff Garland says no.
No! Okay, Jeff, you win.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I often joke that Adam Carolla is the busiest man in show business, but it's not a joke anymore, Allie. He is throwing stuff at me so fast now that as a consumer, I no longer can keep up. Like, I can't read books as fast as he's writing them. I can't watch movies as fast as he's making them. I can't listen to podcasts or go to the live shows as fast as he's doing them. Like, how are you doing this, Adam? What kind of drugs are you on that you're able to generate so much content all the time?
I'm high on life, Bean.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And what I do is, like I said, I wrote that book on the way
to and on the way back from Catch a Contractor, which was, you know, we'd do these houses in Corona, which, by the way, there should be a class action lawsuit from the beer makers, Corona, in the city of Corona, because there's nothing further away from a Corona commercial than Corona, California. So, you see those Corona commercials, and you go, oh, we're going to a city named Corona, and it's just Mexicans walking in a circle waiting to die.
Sure,
that's
it's
all
like
Corona,
you go to Hawaiian Gardens. It's not the beach vacation you hoped for, right?
Same Lakeview Terrace. It keeps going. These are not good cities.
So you're in the back of the car. You got a driver at this point. You're in the back of the car on your way to film a TV show.
I'm sitting in the car. I'm talking on my speakerphone. I have a guy who's in Connecticut who listens to every single show, Mike Lynch, I still do work with, he just moved to Connecticut, and he's listening to every single podcast, and he's pulling out every morsel, every joke, every witticism, and he's writing it down, and then when I'm stuck for an hour and a half in and an hour and a half back from Corona, we're shaping it into a book.
How about that? That's interesting. So the book is called Daddy Stop Talking and Other Things My Kids Won't Want But Won't Be Getting. Now, there had to have come a come-to-Jesus moment for you, Adam, where you thought, I don't want to be the 2,000th guy to write a parenting book. That's been done, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, yeah, the Steve Allen has written 2,000 just alone. This is just an excuse. You know, all these books, President Me, you know, whatever, they're just an excuse to tell stories and complain.
Yeah.
And attempt to make people laugh. This one has some wisdom I'm attempting to pass on as well. But it's not going to really teach you how to parent. It's just going to let you know how miserable I am.
It's good. It is very, very funny, though. And your kids, and I'm sure this is true for a lot of people, Adam, but particularly in your case, your kids could not be raised in a more different environment than you were coming up as a kid. In terms of your parents were so hands-off, they just basically kicked you out and said, come back when it's dark out. And I feel like you have to micromanage your kids' lives because they're so busy.
Oh, my God. My daughter is like, first off, imagine this concept. I was talking about this with Jimmy Kimmel on Monday when I did his show. We were miserable when we were at school, and like you were supposed to be, right? You went to school, and you were miserable. And then summer vacation, which started for my twins on Monday of this week, summer vacation, the whole allure to the summer vacation was you don't have to go to the gulag anymore and sit with no air conditioning with the, you know, Hausfrau that's 55 years old and stare at Mrs. Parker all day. You get to go do whatever you want. They're not miserable at school. They actually like school. So when their summer vacation rolls around, they come home and they go, well, I'm back from that place that I kind of like. Now what's on the docket? Whereas for us, the whole thing was, we don't need activities. Our activities are not going to school.
Yes. And they expect you to entertain them the way they have been entertained at school all year long.
My daughter's like, she had a punch list ready to go. She's like, well, first thing we got to do is build that zip line to Zac Efron's house. she literally wants to know when we're, you know, it's like Tuesday. Why haven't we been to Catalina yet? And I was telling this to Jim, I was like, we literally just balled up foil and just went outside and just tried to make baskets with it in a trash can or something. And he's like, I'm serious. We did have a ball of foil.
Yep. You're absolutely right. And the summer was so wide open, and you literally had not one thing on the calendar that you were going to do until you went back to school the Tuesday after Labor Day. That was it. It was just, you were just doing nothing. And of course, you might watch a little TV, but we grew up before there were computers, before there were video games and things like that. So how did we spend all that time, Adam? It's like hard to imagine now.
You just got on a Huffy and you pedaled your ass off. And you never rehydrated unless there was a hose or something you'd hit on some occasion. But, I mean, yeah, my kids will get up at 8:30 in the morning and be standing in front of me going, what's up? what do we got? Where are we going? And I'm going, like, let me open the briefcase that's handcuffed to my right arm, and let's put the secret code in, and we'll get the itinerary out. Like, I don't know. You have a yard. There's a bunch of balls in it. There's a swing. Go do something.
Right. By go way, find some bugs to play with. Right.
You have a swimming pool. I go in the swimming pool. And there are things like, well, who's going with me? And it's like, I don't know. Go yourself. What do you need me for?
Let me ask you this other aspect about your being brought up by your folks and how different it is for your kids. And that is, you were brought up very blue collar. What are your children's expectations, knowing that daddy is rich and daddy is famous and daddy has all this access? Is that something you've had to work real hard to tamp down to kind of keep the kids normal and not spoiled?
No, I don't even try. It's just a part, you know, it's a part of life. I mean, dad, you know, my son went with me. He went and did he wrote his book report on Shaquille O'Neal, I think I told you. I mean, he did his big end of year oral report on Shaquille O'Neal. So he came with me to my podcast on Monday because Shaquille O'Neal was calling in, and he wanted to say hi to Shaq Fu, you know. So he said hi to Shaq Fu, and then he got in the car with me, and then we drove over to Kimmel's place, and then of course he got.
I saw him
like
on the TV that night.
King over there, yeah, and then he was on TV that night. So it just is. That's the whole. I just started to realize that being, like, whether you're going and hanging out after the show, watching Dad drink a cold one with Uncle Jimmy up in his office, or Stepdad's putting a Tipperillo out on your ass, it just is.
It just is. That's just your life. That's all you know, right?
Well, I really wasn't – he's not as happy as he should be over his situation, and I wasn't nearly as miserable as I should have been over my situation.
Because you know no different.
Right, just is.
You know no different. Yeah. Yep.
Right.
It all comes out in the wash. Well, the book is very, very funny. It's hard to believe, Adam. I mean, you yourself have joked that you're practically illiterate, yet here you have yet another New York Times bestseller. And it's to your credit, sir, and your hard work. Stop Talking and Other Things My Kids Want But Won't Be Getting is very funny. It's the latest book out from Adam Carolla. You can get all the details on that, the TV show, the movies, the live appearances, and more at adamcarolla.com. Congratulations sincerely on the book. It's really, really good, Adam. We appreciate you coming on, sir.
Did you watch the Newman doc yet, Bean?
I sure did. I saw it last weekend, and I got to tell you, and I know we're out of time here. I felt like I never knew anything about Paul Newman before I watched that documentary. How humble he was, and how kind he was, and I mean, it was, and the passion that he had for racing. I had no idea he started so late and raced practically till the day he died. It was fascinating, Adam.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, great stuff, sir. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Armando Arcadia from Los Angeles. That's not confusing at all that his name's Arcadia and he lives in Los Angeles. Has just won tickets to go see Incubus and Deftones. He chose August 28th at the Forum. Your chance to win is coming up here on K-Rock. Go to K-Rock.com for all the details. Now, Ralph, I know on the surface you weren't excited about CatCon LA, which is happening this weekend at the Reef in downtown LA. It's almost sold out, by the way.
I'm sure
but
it is.
What if I were
what
to tell you
what else do
that,
crazy cat people have to spend their money on? That's
what if
what I'm
I were
saying.
To tell you that 14 of the biggest cat-centric speakers in the world are going to be appearing at this convention this weekend?
They got all 14 together in the same place?
Yes, they did.
What, aren't they spread out for all the other CatCons that are going on?
What if I were to tell you the organizer of CatCon LA, Ms. Susan Michaels, joins us in studio right now on the Kevin Beach Show. Hi,
Thank
Susan.
You. Thank you. Thank you very much.
CatCon LA has become a thing. This is not the first year you've done it, correct?
It is. This is the inaugural.
What? Talk. Not
how
correct.
How is it already so popular?
You know, people love cats. What can I say?
And by people, you mean a certain percentage of the population loves cats.
I would say a very large population.
Well, let's not get nuts. Percentage. I don't know if you have any scientific facts here or not, but there's a large...
I believe there are more households in the United States, Ralph, with cats than there are households
It's two
with
to
cats.
One.
I believe that is true.
Really?
It just seems like more.
I think there really are more, though.
You're arguing basically what they're saying is fact.
But just think about how many they have per household. Like, the average cat lady has about 47 cats in her house. So it's just right. By sheer numbers, you're going to have higher numbers.
So that's the whole thing that we're trying to change here, is dispelling the cat lady myth.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm trying to dispel gravity, but it won't happen. I can't fly either. That's the problem.
How are you doing that, Susan?
Well, You know, a number of our speakers, like Diane Lovejoy and Ashley Chudin, who created Choupette's Diary, are coming in to talk about how this whole image has changed over the past 100 or so years.
Oh, if you could have seen the side eye she just shot Ralph. It was kind
of
glorious.
I guess 100 years of examples of cat ladies have made us all buy into that stereotype. But let's all right, tell me about the stereotype.
So a lot of people still think of the Grey Gardens, Miss Havisham from Great Expectations.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But in my great research that I have done, mm-hmm. I have realized that there are tons and tons of people that don't fit that mold. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift, for example.
Yes.
Kate Walsh, for another.
Okay.
Katy Perry. For another.
Oh, you hit a likable woman. Okay, well, that's good. That's third time.
How about Ian Somerhalder? Does he fit the cat lady mold?
He's dreamy.
Isn't he dreamy?
Okay, he is dreamy.
Susan,
I'll give you that.
Let me stop you right there. Now, you mentioned Taylor Swift, and I happen to be a huge Swiftie. I love her so much. But she is almost the definition of a crazy cat lady in that the cats seem to be the only serious relationship she's able to sustain in her life. Like, she can't keep a boyfriend. She is home most of the time just talking to those animals.
Taking pictures of them, posting pictures of them.
But isn't she the very definition of a crazy cat lady?
I don't think so. I think that defines her
as... You're running CatCon. Of course you don't think so.
I think that defines her as a cool, chic cat lady, not a crazy cat lady.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
She's the new definition of cat lady.
So she's still a crazy cat lady. She's just younger than most of them, is what it sounds like.
You need to lose the word crazy here.
No, we don't.
They just go together so well. All right, what about the people? Look, and again, this is me, Bean, speaking. I happen to love cats. I've had cats. I think they're great pets. But what about, is it a stereotype that people have, in many cases, too many cats? There are a lot of people who seem to have 4, 5, 6 of them in their house.
This is true, and that's okay. The whole idea behind CatCon is to show that there are all kinds of people that enjoy cats. There are those that have 6 cats, 10 cats, 1 cat,
right.
Electronic cats, which there will be electronic cats at CatCon Zoomer Kitty.
It's about damn time.
That's for you, Ralph.
About damn time we got some robot
cats.
What's
an electronic
cat? Up in this joint.
There is an electronic cat which is debuting called Zoomer Kitty, and it is a motion-censored cat.
Okay.
So
like a Roomba, but it doesn't suck stuff up?
In
it spits hairballs out instead of vacuuming them up.
In theory. It will purr when you stroke it. It will...
it's a different kind of convention.
I know.
Sorry. My mind was wandering a little bit there.
it reacts to your motions. It will purr. It will hiss. It will speak even. It will even sidle up to Ralph.
No, it won't.
But have you noticed, and this is something I have noticed because it's not that I don't like cats. I think it was a Twilight Zone as a kid where the cats went into the bathroom and pushed the radio into the tub electrocuted.
Yes, I saw that one.
So that is my fear.
Cats can
think cats can murder.
I don't like cats, and I can't back you, Ellie. No, I can't back you.
Here's the thing. Have you noticed people that are either wary or don't like cats, cats sense it, and cats want to be all up in their grill?
Well, those people need to come to CatCon to check it out and see how wrong it is.
Yeah.
Got it.
Will there be a lot of cats at the CatCon or just things related to cats?
That's a very good question.
It is
and
a
you
good
know,
question.
It is a question that I have gotten many emails about. Yeah. Can I bring Mr. Fluffernutter on a leash?
Yes.
He loves
cats. Love leashes.
Cats love leashes. My cat. My cat loves to go for a drag all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Can I bring Mr. Fluffernutter because he is just so sociable? He's the hit of the town when he walks around on his leash. And I say, here's the deal with Mr. Fluffernutter. Put Mr. Fluffernutter in a space with 6,000 people with foreign smells and foreign noises. Do you think Mr. Fluffernutter is still going to be Mr. Happy?
Mm.
And the answer is no. Yeah. So we will have
no to Mr. Fluffernutter. What about the rest of them?
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I'm speaking in generalities. It's
all
okay.
All the cats are welcome. Just not that bad.
Just not that
Fluffernutter.
One.
Just not Fluffernutter.
So you can't
right.
bring your cats, but
so
there will
the
be cats
here's
there.
The deal. There will be cats there.
Yeah.
Best Friends Animal Society
Wonderful.
Is bringing cats. We have a huge adoption village.
Excellent.
They're bringing to start 50 cats to get adopted during the weekend.
Okay.
We also have 2 celebra cats just for you.
Celebra cats.
Yes. We have the infamous Lil Bub.
Oh, Dave
well,
is obsessed
as big as
for Lil Bub.
Lil Bub. And then we have Pudge, an up-and-comer.
Is Pudge okay. also genetically mutated like Little Bub is?
She is a stone fox, man.
All right.
Okay. She is so
little
hot.
Little Bub's the one that looks like got hit in the face with a snow shovel, right?
Is no, that, that's that Grumpy one? Cat.
Oh, that's Grumpy Cat.
Grumpy
okay.
Cat is not attending.
What's Little Bub do?
Little Bub is a cat special. With special needs.
Special needs cat.
Special needs cat.
All right. I'm in.
It's adorable. All right.
She's What's so... more adorable, Bean, than a mentally deficient animal?
10 to 12,000 cat fans are expected.
You can't ignore me, Bean. I will not be ignored.
This is true. And we do have a number of celebrities that are cat fans that are attending and not attending. Would you like to know who they are?
I'd like to know the ones who aren't attending.
I'll tell you who's not attending but expressed great sorrow.
Who's that?
Dita Von Teese.
Adorable. Oh, really? Alistair is her cat.
Lisa Loeb.
Why do I know that?
You're naming celebrities that aren't going to be there right now, Susan.
Yes, I know, okay, but I want to tell you. But I want to tell you that they are cat fans. You know mm-hmm. who is one of our really wonderful cat fans? Ryan Adams.
Mm. He's adorbs. Oh, no kidding.
Damn pissed that he can't come to CatCon because he's got to do a concert. But I will tell you who is coming.
Who will be there?
I'd love to hear.
Mayim Bialik.
Blossom.
Okay.
TV's Blossom. Blossom.
Very nice.
Sure.
Yes.
Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. Oh, that show. Yeah. That's a big show.
Jack McBrayer of Jack and Triumph is coming.
I love Jack.
Wow. He is actually doing a live Q&A with Little Bub. Little Bub does speak. I'll have you know.
That sounds legit.
They have got a... They
just crossed the line now, haven't we, in the fantasy world?
They are
is there even a convention?
At least in my mind, there
yes,
is.
Yes, that's what I'm afraid of. We're going to get all down right. there. It's going to be you in a panel van, and the with doors Mr. are going to be Fluffer open, and it's you petting a cat.
Susan, we are out of time. Let me give up the information again. It's just $25 for a day pass. As I mentioned, 10 to 12,000 cat fans expected to attend at the Reef in downtown L.A. The website is catconla.com. Catconla.com.
You can get tickets at catconla.com/tickets, and the address is 1933 South Broadway, 90007.
Excellent. It's a lot of zeros. All right, fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing the information. Susan, have a great time, okay?
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Bye. A little band called Muse here on the world famous K-Rock, Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Herman. You okay? Song's over, dude.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, before you get into Showbiz Beat, Chip has a plug. She's doing something very cool tonight. You know how Chip can't keep a band together? You know how she breaks up every group she plays bass with?
They call her one-time Chip.
That's right.
She plays one show with a band, and then the band usually dies in a fiery car wreck or something.
Yeah, that's usually what happens.
That's like Spinal Tap in reverse. She lives, and the rest of the band usually perishes.
Your one chance to see Chip and her new band is going to be tonight, Chip. What are the details, please?
Hey, I'm playing at the House of Blues Anaheim tonight, 8 o'clock p.m. with my new band, One High Five, before they break up tomorrow.
Yep.
Starts at, like I said, 8 p.m., $10 if you go online at onehighfive.com. It's more expensive at the door. Don't pay more to see me. Just pay $10. Go to onehighfive.com.
A little support for our friend Chip playing bass with a new band tonight. They're really good, too. You guys will have a good time.
What type of music would you say if you had to categorize One High Five? What kind of music do you
play,
Chip? You do?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear a little bit of it. Let's fall down to the ground. Where you see yourself in the next 5 years? We'll see you attack the wall. It's not too damn. Do you want my help? Hey.
You just ballroom blitzed us.
That sounds
just
good.
Like that.
Nice.
Who was expecting Shaka Road when Chip said, I have a clip, by the way?
I was.
I know
I was.
I was.
Frankly, I'm disappointed. It was actual
All right,
music.
That's
but it was good music.
House of Blues, Anaheim. Rob is here now. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat for the week. What's going on?
Speaking of music, I saw this earlier this morning. It's kind of crazy when you think about how many people it means have attended. But Billy Joel apparently is going to beat the record for most performances by an artist in New York's Madison Square Garden this week. So far, Elton John holds the record with 64 shows. At that legendary arena, but Billy's, it's not this week, I said July 1st it will be the concert that will make it 65 for Billy Joel. That means he's sold out Madison Square Garden 65 times. That's a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
57,910,000.
Wow, well, thanks for the information. There you go.
Shia LaBeouf just happened to have that at the ready.
At his fingertips. Speaking of music, Bieber back in his hometown yesterday via video conference. He was hooked up to a courtroom in Stratford, Ontario to face charges after he drove his ATV into a minivan full of paparazzi and then got into it with one of them. He pled guilty, which, of course, in the Canadian justice system means that the case was discharged completely. It's true.
I still don't see how
they dropped the charges, I guess because he pled guilty to a lesser charge of reckless driving as opposed to the dangerous driving count.
Oh, I see.
Which would have been more severe. So he just pays a $750 fine
And they send him on his way with a box of Timbits and some poutine. Canadian people right now.
I'm 19 years old. I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
Nope. Some Canadians right now laughing their asses off.
Sure.
And everyone relax. Speaking of Canadians, relax. Degrassi, The Next Generation is still in production. We've had a lot of misinformation saying the show's been canceled and they're not going to make it anymore.
Well, that was the report yesterday, is it was leaving Nick Jr. Well, after 14 seasons.
It's leaving Teen Nick.
Teen Nick, sorry.
After 14 seasons, yes, meaning that that network will no longer carry that particular program, but the Canadian teen soap opera will continue to be produced. They will be enjoying it in America's hat up there to the north, mm-hmm. as Canada is known. And eventually, they assume they're already in conversations with another network to pick up and carry it here in the States. So for those Degrassi fans, do not worry. It lives on, and you'll probably get to see it soon. So just leave in one channel, but they'll probably find it in another.
Allie, that seems like the type of show you would like.
Not even once.
Come on, yeah, with
I
the
know.
Degrassi.
Why? I know.
Kevin was on it. He was on
he,
it.
He was on it. That's
thrilled.
Yeah. Why I brought it up with him this morning, but you seem like you're into all of those kind of, you know, Saved by the Bell kind of shows, and it seems like this is one of them.
I liked What's Happening.
Established.
You were waiting for that. Yeah, no, sorry.
Okay. Speaking of television, very happy to announce the first images from Sci-Fi TV's Lavalantula TV movie have finally hit the interwebs.
Really? That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. You can go to @RalphGarman. Follow me on Twitter. I posted several pictures there from Lavalantula, a picture of an actual Lavalantula. And for those of you saying, oh, it's not that big, it's just the beginning, suckas. And then there's another photo of me and the Goots, Steve Guttenberg, battling Lavalantulas with the lava reflected on our faces as a shock and horror as we see lava pits open up and Lavalantulas come out of it.
What are you wearing, son?
That is my pirate costume.
Sure.
My character in the film is a down-on-his-luck, low-rent party pirate. Like one you'd hire for kids' parties
okay.
and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So I play a down-on-his-luck, drunken, low-level party pirate.
Hmm.
Much like I do in real life, actually.
So Lavalantula and Sharknado 3 are both part of Sci-Fi's summer?
Oh, it's going to be the best summer ever on Sci-Fi.
No,
yeah.
That's fantastic.
And the first trailer for Sharknado is also online right now. So Sharknado, oh, hell no, apparently is the name of the Sharknado. Sharknado, so it's titled, oh, hell no, will be debuting on Sci-Fi on July the 22nd. And then in that same week, Lavalantula follows up. It's the 1-2 punch. July the 25th will be Lavalantula. And plus, trust me, you will be tired of hearing that name and that date by the time it rolls around. Because
that's fantastic.
I'm not letting up till everybody watches this because I'm very excited. First of all, I got to hang out and fight spiders with the Goot.
Yeah, doesn't get any better than
and
that.
Steve said he's going to come on the show when we get closer. We're going to hang out.
That'll fantastic. But that's what you dream about.
Patrick Renna also from Sandlot, for you fans of that movie. He's one of the other spider fighters, and we got a bunch of great people in it. So we'll talk more about it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kenny G is 59 years old today. Actor Kevin Garland turns 53. Ron Livingston is 48 years old. Mark Wahlberg turns 44. Peanut, bassist from 311. Turns 41. Actor Nick Kroll is 37. And Fall Out Boy bassist Pete Wentz celebrates his 36th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. Have a great weekend. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Appreciate that. Kevin Garland is related to Jeff Garland. How?
Did I say Jeff Garland?
Yeah,
that music is very loud.
You have a great weekend, too. We'll see you Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, cat.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, your mama won't like me.
Roll another one.
Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Hello.
Just like the other one.
All right, who brought the dog?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Look at you, you're a huge penis.
Another
year. It's called The Guy from Queens Who's Obsessed with Cargo Shorts. Here we go. The Guy from Queens, New York, who's obsessed with cargo shorts. What are those, cargo shorts?
Roll.
him up.
Just like the other one.
I am serious. And don't call me sure.
This one seems to be about to end.
Spectacular. Just spectacular.
I don't have another cent.
And why don't we get this stuff before we get going? Afternoon?
I got a taco right here.
Just pass it around.
It's time to go to 7-Eleven, isn't it?
Is meat on the menu this week?
I'll just pass it on down.
Okay, you two, get out of my office.
It was a pleasure, Snow.
Nope.
You have made it impossible to do this job. You are the worst thing that has happened to this country since food in buckets and maybe slavery. I have had enough. I'm gone.
Bye, 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 bye.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Anyway, I'm out of here. I'm going to drive up the street and see all those buildings that are for lease. A lot of them. Good night. Sleep tight.